much about.
Strap in, youngins. We're hitting the road.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Yeah!
Oh, yeah!
Yeah!
Oh, yeah!
What? Yeah!
Oh, yeah!
Yeah!
Oh, yeah!
What? Yeah!
Oh, yeah!
Yeah!
Oh, yeah!
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Oh, yeah!
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 Oh, yeah!
No! Mm-mm! Mm-mm! No! 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 Hell no! 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 I refuse! No! No!
And now.
I don't think I like that.
Well, it's done.
Our feature presentation.
Being on the Wheels of Steel.
Come on.
Nice.
Come on the ones and twos.
Remix!
How you like me now? Welcome in, party people. It's another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Wednesday. I miss my Lisa May, by the way.
She's not yours.
Well, you know what I mean.
Sure.
I miss her being here
right.
on this show
she'll
and all
back.
Her...
She'll be back.
Good smells and good looks and
right.
feminine energy.
I'm pretty good with the penises.
Well, there's that too. I forgot about that part. Mm-hmm. Anyway, how's everybody? And by everybody, I mean you, Kevin.
Good, thank you. You?
How's Kings last night?
Kings won 5-0, thank you.
Yeah?
First home game,
late
fantastic.
Late night?
Eh, you know, midnight. No big
That's
deal.
Normal. That's normal for you. We're getting to the point now where if Kevin is not tweeting after midnight, we think something's wrong with him. We think he's been kidnapped if he's not up in the middle of the night.
Oh, what are you going to do?
I have an interesting story. Actually, I need let me get some setup from you, Kevin, because you you have kids, so you're familiar with the timeouts
yep.
and whatnot. What's popular these days? What do you? I mean, there's grounding. Grounding. If
sure.
there is, it's a bad offense. I know you can't go out with your friends this weekend. I'm sure that still happens, right? Is there deprive you of electronics time? Is it no TV, no computer? Is that a is
oh,
that
sure.
a,
yeah.
is that a carrot on a stick these days?
I think it's whatever works.
Right.
As long as it's not violent, whatever works. If you can get right. their attention by taking the phone, I think that's what you do. When they get older, I guess you don't
good
let them go
too.
Out of the house with their friends or whatever.
Right. Yeah, I would imagine you take texting away from
yeah.
a teenager. They feel like they're being cut off from the world. They're dead at that point,
their
right?
Their thumbs die. It's weird.
They just wither up.
Yeah.
Well, here's a guy named Freeman Say who has been arrested. He lives in the state of Washington, and he has been arrested because he's got troubles with his 16-year-old daughter. Apparently, she was arrested at a crack house on Saturday night.
Good.
Told her parents she was going to a party, was instead at a crack house. She was arrested. They bailed her out, brought her home. And then to punish her, he and his wife apparently are big into the Renaissance Fair. That's their circuit. So he forced her to chain, to suit up in a chain mail armor and fight him in the backyard for 2 hours with wooden swords.
What? Have you ever heard of anything that bizarre?
I don't think it's ever happened before. 2 hours in the backyard wearing a suit of armor saying, fight me with a wooden sword. Didn't hurt her, but just the exhaustion of it. She eventually collapsed from exhaustion. And I don't know how the police were called back into that family's life, but they did end up showing up and arresting the guy and arresting his wife who watched the whole thing and did
nothing. Wow. Was she filming it for YouTube?
Oh, I bet she was.
Yeah.
I bet she
was.
Hey,
do that thing again where you hit her in the head. That was funny. I didn't get it.
I mean, I don't know, as usual, not enough details in this article for me, but the way it's written, it doesn't sound like she was hurt, just that she was, I mean, you'd think she'd been up doing crack all night. She'd have nothing but energy for Dad's hijinks with the Renaissance Fair stuff, right?
Well, yeah, for a half hour, but.
Yeah, 2 hours in a suit of armor for a 16-year-old is probably pretty tough, but it's going to be interesting to see. The man is being charged with second-degree assault. So it'll be curious
to see.
Are
they also charging him with felony interest in the Renaissance Fair?
I think he should be arrested just for going to the Renaissance Fair, as far as I'm concerned. But how crazy is that? I mean, I don't care how long you live. Would it ever occur to you to take your kids out in the backyard and put them in a suit of armor and fight them with a wooden sword for 2 hours?
Not if I lived for a million years.
I think that would be pretty low on the list.
That's bizarre.
So good time.
Suit up. What are you talking? Put on the suit. Let's go out back. That's not what you want to hear.
Can't I just have the belt instead, Daddy? That would be faster.
Nope, fight me. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Hey, where's my thing? It didn't work.
I'm going to wait. I got all day.
All right. Oh, this is a bad. This is bad if this machine's not working.
I'll do my thing again. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Psych.
Nice. Well, that wasn't the one I wanted, but the other one didn't work at all. Wow,
good enough.
That's creepy.
A little late, but it was good.
We're off and running.
Actor, director, writer, podcaster, comedian, talker, movie maker, Kevin Smith.
He does it all.
Renaissance man, I would say.
Renaissance fair man.
In the good sense of the word renaissance, not in the Renaissance fair way.
Yeah, he does it all. Comic book creator, too, by the way.
Of course, yeah. You were impaled. We told you yesterday morning about our intern who fell out of the window at USC and landed on the fence with her ass, and they had to cut the fence off and take her to the hospital.
Mm.
And as crazy, wild, ridiculous as that sounds, then Dave, the King of Mexico, said, I was impaled when I was younger. And then Bean said, my mom was impaled. I'm like, what's happening? Do we work at the circus? How is it possible that many people in this small circle have been impaled?
Yeah, that's a lot of impaling for a group of like 10 people. You're
it really
right.
Is. The odds are just, I mean, I'm next, right?
You might as well be, yeah.
Come on. So we got that coming up today as well. We have a new feature called Siri Says.
Oh, I like it.
About the iPhone 4S.
I didn't think I needed the iPhone 4S until I started doing a little research into how much fun you can have with Siri, and yeah. I may have to rethink.
People are testing its ability because the function is that it'll talk to you. You can say, make me a reservation. It'll say what restaurant. So we got that coming up. We have Snooki or Chloe. We're going to figure out who wrote the tweet.
Love it.
As both of them are worthless beyond words. And 911 is a joke. We got an all-new episode of that for you today. Man, there's some good 911 calls. I don't know what people are thinking when they make these calls. But they're fantastic, and they provide hours of entertainment for us. So we got that coming up as well. We will take a break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat now. Well, 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9 minutes till 6.
Don't be so uptight there, Muggs. Kevin likes to let the records breathe, man. Likes to make sure that the listeners get every last delicious drop out of the
DJ's
song.
DJ's going rah, over the music.
My
it's
bad.
Important.
Seriously, let it breathe, man, like grapes that come out of a bucket.
Right.
Hey, Ralph Garman, how are you, man?
Good. How's everybody here? How's Philly?
You were so missed.
Oh, I find that hard to believe.
Very much so. How was Philadelphia?
You had a little band called Coldplay.
We did.
I think that would preoccupy you in my absence.
That was pretty
cool.
It did keep
us busy. They were great, as always.
That's
but they
what I
did
heard.
A terrible job with the showbiz beat. Just wasn't the same.
I can't imagine you asked Chris Martin to read showbiz news. I doubt that happened. I did not listen to the show. I'm just doubting it happened.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Okay.
What's it like going home now as a big big TV star?
Not a big TV star.
Okay.
That's what it's like.
I don't have that experience. But this trip was amazing. We did Hollywood Babylon with Kevin Smith at a venue in Philadelphia, and we sold the joint out, and the crowd was insane, and it was one of the best
That's
shows
cool.
ever. Yeah, it was very, very cool. So on top of that, I got to go to a Flyers game and see the Eagles win one for a change, and had a ton of cheesesteaks and scrapple and all the local cuisine. So it was a great trip.
Now you need some rest?
Yes. Got in last night. Boom. Alarm goes off this morning. It's like, oh, here we go.
Here we go. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it's good to have you back doing the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Wednesday. What the hell is going on?
Well, Susan Sarandon's calling the Pope a Nazi.
Well, there's that.
There's that.
What?
Yeah.
Now what?
She's got a beef with the head of the Catholic Church. Said during an interview she was sending the Pope a copy of the book Dead Man Walking.
Which was the movie she made?
Which was the book that was based on the movie she made about capital punishment.
Okay.
And she said she sent one to Pope John Paul II as well. She said, not the Nazi one we have now, she said.
Well, I mean, the truth is, this has dogged this Pope since he got in there. He did serve as a Nazi Party member as a youth.
He was a member of the Hitler Youth in the early
40s. Yeah, I mean, that is a fact, but he's not what most of us consider a Nazi to be. He wasn't a part of any of those kinds of atrocities against Jews or anything like that.
The thing was, if you were a kid in Germany in the 40s under Hitler, a membership was compulsory. You were
right.
A member just by being in that country. Wasn't really much you could do about it. And sure, he killed 6 million Jews. But other than that,
he didn't do that at all.
As you can imagine, the Catholic League for Religious and Civil Rights aren't happy. They said her comment was obscene. And the Anti-Defamation League also got in on the action, saying she may have problems with the church, but it's no excuse for throwing around Nazi analogies, which I agree. You got to kind of reserve the Nazi analogies for the Nazis.
You know, the Germans always make good stuff.
They do, especially when it comes to wars.
I'm glad they haven't heard our show, because occasionally we'll have Pope Benedict on from
yeah.
time to time.
I don't think we've ever called him a Nazi.
No, of course
no.
not. It's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
It's understood.
Shia LaBeouf maybe should stay out of bars.
He's having problems? More problems?
Yeah, I don't know if you saw TMZ, but they've got the video of Shia just getting his ass kicked by an unknown shirtless man in Vancouver outside a bar called the Cinema Public House last week.
Is it bad because he got in a fight or because he got his ass kicked?
Both.
Both.
Yeah. If there is going to be video of you fighting in a bar fight, you would like it to show you being victorious, I would think.
Sure.
He's had a long history, though, of brawls in public alehouses.
Now, he does seem to get all worked up.
Word is both men had been kicked out of the place. They ended up in the street, and the battle continued. He is filming a movie up there called The Company You Keep, and I'm sure the production company, especially the insurance company, is just thrilled when he gets into brawls outside of bars.
They love it. They insist on it.
Yeah. You gotta remember, this is the guy who honked up his hand and had to write it into Transformers because of that car crash that he had.
That's right. Coming out of a bar.
He's got a history of alcohol leading to poor judgment. Here's the video here. You can see this. Oh.
Ow.
Jeez. That's gonna leave a mark right there. Yeah, he's not looking too good there either. Poor guy. Oh.
Quite a brawl.
Yeah. Man.
Tire iron.
Yeah. How many tire irons they have in this place?
A lot.
Yeah.
He didn't throw one punch.
Oh. That'd be the last Sorry. One there. Something especially embarrassing than getting your ass kicked by a guy who's not wearing a shirt. It adds sort of a homoerotic vibe to it as well that I think is kind of unwelcome.
Although, we're now guaranteed to see it because I'm sure Cops was there.
That's true.
That'd be awesome.
They always find guys either without a shirt or in a wife beater. So
right.
That's how they decide whether to stop and lend a hand or not. Mandy Moore's got a new gig. Dave's very excited.
I'm sure.
Oh, I love Mindy.
I love Mindy Ma.
She will be starring in an ABC sitcom called Us and Them. She'll play half of a young newlywed couple. No word yet on who will be her co-star. But I like her. I think she's talented. I think she'd be good on a sitcom.
I didn't know she was doing any work at all these days. I thought she was just being a wife. It seems like she's been out of the limelight for a long time since she got married.
Yeah. Now she's back getting to work. Courtney Love has pulled her band Hole out of next year's Soundwave Festival in Australia. Look, I don't think Hole's really in a position to turn down any gigs, are they?
That is a little strange.
Turns out that Courtney found out she'd be opening up for Limp Bizkit.
Well,
Courtney and Fred Durst don't necessarily have the best of relationships. She said, there's no way that's going to happen. And then the promoter, he puffed his chest up and said, there's no way he's going to ask Courtney Love's permission every time another band is booked for the festival. He doesn't need to clear things with her, so he's not backing down. So she said, fine, then we're not going to be part of it.
I agree with the promoter. I think he's absolutely right to book whatever festival he wants.
Yeah.
But I can't believe, I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised that Hole would be opening for Limp Bizkit. I'd rather see Hole 1,000 times in a row than see Limp Bizkit once.
Yeah. And oddly enough, Courtney has been cast as Fred's wife in his new sitcom. So I think, you know, they really should be able to work things out.
Not going
to
work.
Other bands on the bill, which, by the way, this festival happens in February and March of 2012.
Okay.
In Australia, if you're so inclined to book your travel plans now. System of a Down, Slipknot, You, Me at Six, Machine Head, and A Day to Remember also will all be performing. So if you're interested.
All right.
And MTV is looking for the next cast of The Real World. They're looking for stars here locally in Los Angeles, if you're so inclined and you want to check it out. They'll be interviewing people today at Hooters of Burbank.
Yes.
Ah, Hooters of Burbank. Of all the Hooters, I believe Burbank has a certain pecan feel to it that really adds to the experience. It happens this morning at 11 a.m. That's when things get started and goes all the way to 6 p.m. this evening. So if you'd like to be on The Real World, And who wouldn't? They seem like they have a good time on that show. There's a lot of free alcohol they give you.
Yes,
yep.
That happens.
Hot tubs.
That's hot tubs. Throw down at a moment's notice.
Looks like they clean you up after the fight. They have a cut man who comes in and ices you down and stitches you up, whatever you need. I think there's a lot to go on here. You need to be between the ages of 20 and 24. If you'd like to check it out, again, that's Hooters of Burbank, 600 North 1st Street in Burbank, California, from 11 a.m. this morning to 6 p.m. I heard MTV's also going down to Occupy Wall Street in New York.
For what?
Looking for cast members for the Real World down there. Maybe they'll do a whole Real World Occupy Wall Street edition.
That they have to shoot right down there?
They just set up the cameras down there. And just for 6 weeks, you just film people, you know, eating pizza and living in a sleeping bag.
You still here?
Yep. Yeah, me too.
All right.
Still angry about the banks? Sure, yep. Am. All right.
Okay.
Let's go party. Today's celebrity birthdays, one of my favorites, John Lithgow, 66 years old today. How great is he?
He's the best.
How great was he as the Trinity Killer on Dexter that season?
Incredible.
Maybe still my favorite season of Dexter so far.
Incredible.
Remarkable. Other than the first.
Remarkable.
Or maybe better?
I think it was, the first was great. Yeah. I mean, every season's great. But I think Trinity for me was like the ultimate Dexter series. TV host Ty Pennington from Extreme Makeover. He is 47 years old today. Actor and director Jon Favreau celebrates his 45th birthday. South Park co-creator Trey Parker is 42. Comedian Chris Kattan celebrates his 41st birthday. Actor Omar Gooding from Hanging with Mr. Cooper is 35. Jason Reitman, writer, director. Guy's, I don't know, what's he made? Three movies? Four movies? Just pitching a shutout. This guy, everything he makes is amazing.
Yep.
Came out of the gate, I think, with Juno. Then gave us Thank You for Smoking, right?
That was That's serious. Right. That's right.
Up in the Air.
Both
with
great.
George
That's right.
Clooney.
That was great.
Come on now with this guy.
And his new one that's getting ready to come out is another one that Diablo Cody wrote. I can't remember what it's called right now, but it sounds incredible. Sounds just as good.
34 years old today. It's not young adult, is it? The one with Charlize Theron, is that his?
That, I think that is it, yeah.
Is that it? Yeah,
I think that is it. That looks hilarious.
Yeah, and it's got my girl in it, so a lot going for it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Our friend Kevin Smith coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We got lots of good stuff to give away, including I think Ralph's going to have tickets for that new Johnny Depp film that looks so good called The Rum Diary coming up in a little bit as well. First, though, it's been a while since we've done this, but people continue to call 911 for all the wrong reasons. We call this 911 is a joke.
To so get up, get down. 911 is joking, yo, down.
You probably remember the Burger King, the woman that called from the Burger King drive-thru.
Tax department, how can I help you?
Yeah, I'm over here at Burger King right here in San Clemente. I asked her four different times to make me a Western barbecue burger. She said, she gave me another hamburger. It's wrong. I said four times. I said, I want it. She goes, can you go out and park in front? I said, no. I want my hamburger right.
Yes, she does. So she called 911. And the woman said, what do you want me to do? You want me to send out a sheriff to make sure you get your burger?
What goes through people's minds is just, this is an emergency to me, and this is the fastest way I can get some backup. I mean, that's got to be what it is. They don't actually stop and think, what's 911 for, right?
Well, that woman didn't.
Right.
This woman, or man, I think it's a woman, did and knew what 911 was for.
Clark 20 911.
Somebody's really drunk driving down Granton Road.
Okay, are you behind them, or?
No, I am them.
You am them?
Yes, I am them.
Called 911 on herself for driving drunk.
That's why not just call somebody to come meet you and take you home?
I don't know why you would call the sheriff's department or the police and say, I'm driving drunk, but she did the right thing.
Awesome.
Mother wanted to kill her son. You might remember this. She's a little uptight.
Tell me what's going on. My son is disrespectful. I need an officer out here before I be committing a 187 because I'm about to kill this little bitch.
Ma'am, how old is your son?
He's 15! And what? I need help, and if I don't get it, I'ma kill this mother with this hammer. And I swear to God, if you don't send no mother officer out here, I'ma be blood splatter, every mother gonna be an O.J. Simpson in this mother house.
She mad.
I don't think you want to say I'm going to kill him with a hammer. Isn't that bad for him?
Yes.
And then, of course, maybe our favorite of all time is Victor Fuentes.
The all-time greatest 911 call ever.
And then I got three new ones.
You're a male?
I'm a male, motherfucker. Yeah, of course.
What happened to you?
I fell down. I want them to check my head or my finger because I'm kind of cut and
You fell off of what?
What?
What'd you fall off of?
Stairs and right. Man, too much information and man.
Oh,
I listen to that when we're not working, just for my own entertainment sometimes. It's so good.
Too much information. He does not like the fact that the 911 operator wants to know what he fell off of, because he didn't. He got in a fight. Let's be honest.
Sure.
Now, here's a new one. This is parents with a three-week-old in a corn maze for Halloween. And they get lost. And she panics and dials 911.
Hi, I just called. I'm still stuck at Qantas Bombs. I'm really scared. It's really dark, and we got a three-week-old baby with us.
Relax. Calm down. Your husband's with you, right?
Yes, but my baby.
I understand, and the police officer is on the way.
We thought this would be fun. Instead, it's a nightmare.
It's a nightmare. She said it was light when we came in here. Now it's dark.
Right, because she went near dark. She went close to the end of the day. Now, this maze is very famous, Kevin. I don't know if you've seen pictures of it, but it is immense. It's in Salem, Massachusetts. It is huge, but they were, I guess, 25 feet from the road. They could see the lights of cars from where they were, yet they still called 911. Just, I don't know. I guess the goal is it's supposed to be hard to get out of, but
she
really
started it with, hey, I just called. So this was her second call to 911.
And what did she think was going to happen to her three-year-old baby that was, or three-week-old baby that was in her arms as she was walking around in this maze?
I don't know. Dude, I don't know. I don't know why she brought a three-week-old baby to a maze.
Oh, because they love Halloween at that age.
Here's a lady who locked herself in her car, which is, I believe, impossible to do.
I'm locked inside my car. Nothing electrical works. And it's getting very hot in here, and I'm not feeling well.
Now, how long do you think she waited before she called? Probably,
I don't know.
10, 15 minutes? I mean, you don't want to call 911 and admit you're locked in your car.
No. Yeah, she probably did wait for a little while, and she probably hit all the buttons that normally work, and maybe her battery was dead or something like that, but clearly she hasn't thought this one through either.
I need some help.
Are you able to pull the lock up on the door and open the door?
I've tried. Okay. All right, I got that going. Okay.
So are you able to get out of the car now?
Yes, I got the door open.
Okay.
All right. You are an idiot, man. To get up, but don't you get sit down. 911
is joking, yo. Look, we've been hearing these 911 calls for years, and we're always amazed and impressed by the patience that the people have who answer these calls.
Here is a woman that's working for 911, and she kind of loses her patience a little bit because this dude is a douchebag. This is the pot grower. And you'll find out why he's calling 911 in a second.
911, what's the location of your emergency?
Let's not get into that yet.
Okay, is that a good sign?
I already love this guy.
I don't want to. Let's not. I'd rather not give you any details yet. I have more questions.
Hey, look, I'm asking the questions here, lady.
911, what's the location of your emergency?
Let's not get into that yet. I have a question.
Is this an emergency, sir?
All right. Now, she's trying to clarify so she can move on. Maybe somebody else is having a heart attack while this guy's saying he's not going to give her any information. So she wants to know, is it an emergency?
Depends. Well, not really.
If it's not an emergency, you don't call 911, sir.
Well, I have a legal question.
Well, it's not. Is this an emergency?
I don't know what that means.
Okay.
This guy is so baked.
Don't you hang up on that person? I don't know what emergency means. Then don't call this number.
Yeah, I don't think they can hang up on him. I really don't.
Is it life-threatening or an act of crime in progress?
Crime in progress, possibly.
What's going on?
I was just growing some marijuana. I was just wondering how much, you know, trouble you can get into for one plant.
Now, so he calls 911 to ask her how much trouble he can get in for growing one plant of marijuana. Is he just effing around?
I don't know what he's doing, but don't most people know when you call 911 that the police can see your exact location? Aren't you inviting officers to come to your home and arrest you?
Yes. Unless he made the call from somebody else's house. That's awesome. Maybe this guy's my hero.
Depends on how big the plant is.
It's only a seedling.
No, it's possession.
Okay.
It can get pinched for a roach in a car.
Okay.
Do you want to hear my call?
Yeah, that was the dude that called 911 to find out how much trouble he'd get in if the police ever found out he was growing weed.
The stories the 911 operators must have when they go home at night.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And
I love it.
They must handle a bunch of those a day. But this has been another rousing rendition of... To get up, get down. 911 is joking, yo.
How's
was doing some mean air guitar on that song.
I shredded.
You really did.
I air shredded.
I believed it.
It's 24 after 6. This is the Kevin and Bean Show.
By the way, Ralph, you weren't here yesterday. We had Vinny on from the Jersey Shore.
Who's
the only guy on that show I can tolerate,
yeah,
by
he's
the way.
He's a decent
The only one who seems like he's got a brain in his head. And I asked him, I said, how can you be making yourself available to do interviews? Once you've slept with Snooki, shouldn't you be alone on an island and never have to admit it to anybody? And he's like, look, guys, it was 2 seconds.
Uh-huh.
I don't regret anything in my life, but I spend all of my time trying to erase it from my memory.
But they've been together more than once, though.
Yeah,
They've been together in previous seasons, too. So he's a repeat offender.
Well, as Kevin pointed out to him, your standards are pretty low when you're drunk. It's 3 a.m. and she crawls into your bed. You go, well,
it is being served up on a platter. It's kind of hard to say no.
But anyway, it was a lot of fun. Speaking of the Jersey Shore, I think it's time for another round of our favorite Twitter game called Snooki or Chloe.
Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in to the new game that's sweeping the nation, where we read dumbass celebrity tweets and you try to tell us who it is. And this week your choices are Chloe or Snooki. It's Chloe or Snooki. Both of them are so freaking fat. Yeah!
Is it sweeping the nation? Have I heard anyone else do it?
Oh, actually, it's mopping the nation.
Is it?
It's not really sweeping it so much, but still.
So you're going to read the tweets, and it's going to be either from Khloe Kardashian or from the beautiful Snooki.
Yes.
And all we have to do is try to guess, based on the content of the tweet, which one wrote it.
Yep. Okay. And I'm telling you, a lot of these are coin flips. I don't envy you two. That's what I'm telling
They're
you.
They're both great.
It's a challenge. Here we go. Strong stance, big ass, cool glasses. That's a single tweet. I have no idea what the context is, but...
Big ass, cool glasses.
Strong stance, big ass, cool glasses.
I wonder if Snooki, because I don't think Chloe's
you think she's talking about herself, though?
Yeah.
You think the person tweeting is about her? Oh, okay.
I think. I'm going with Snooki on that one.
I'm going to say Snooki also.
All right. Let's...
Chloe Kardashian.
Wow. Got us both.
Yeah. She knows she's got a huge ass.
Or maybe she wasn't tweeting about herself. I was just assuming that.
Maybe she was tweeting about Kim. I don't know. Who knows?
Please.
It's very hard.
All right. So Bean and I are both wrong. Go ahead.
All right. Here we go. Dingleberries are a fine delicacy, according to a small survey. #fact. #fact.
Oh, my God.
Dingleberries are a fine delicacy, according to a small survey.
Snooki.
#fact.
It has to be. That's
it has
so
to be Snooki
gross.
Because,
it has to be.
She's just so foul.
Yeah.
Khloe Kardashian.
What's happening?
Khloe Kardashian.
All right, 0 for 2.
You're both 0 for 2.
Good.
Okay.
You need to stop agreeing with me. You'll be right at least once.
You guys should at least pick the opposite, and some of you will be right. Bye, Paul Walker. Hi, Hugh Jackman.
Bye, Paul Walker.
I wonder if she's talking about her movie crush or if she's just seeing a double feature.
I'm guessing it's a movie crush.
Yeah.
I know who I'm going to go with, but Bean's copying me, so I'm going to let him go first.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm going to say Chloe on this one. I'm going to say Chloe on this one.
You can both say Chloe if you want.
I'm going with Chloe.
All right. Here we go.
If one thing leads to another, I'm not going to tell them to get off.
The Snookster threw that one out there.
Come on, we've got to get one right. Okay. All right, Bean, let's go opposite no matter what. You pick first, I'll go
opposite. That's such a cheesy way to go. That's not committing.
Listen,
that's not going with your guts.
Somebody needs a point.
You don't win anything here. You realize that, right? There's no prize at the end.
Somebody needs a point.
Okay, here we go. BlackBerry outage? Let's get real here, BlackBerry. Ugh.
That's Chloe. I think that is Chloe.
All right.
I think so, too, because Snooki doesn't know what a BlackBerry
is. I can't see Snooki having a BlackBerry. I just can't.
I'm going with Chloe as well.
Okay.
If one thing leads to another, I'm not going to tell them to get off.
Snooki! Come on!
Why is this the hardest game in the world?
Man!
Snooki!
This time, seriously, we have to go with us. All right. I'm going first, Bean. You got to go the other way.
Okay.
All right.
Flowers make me so happy. I feel like I'm in a meadow, LOL.
All right. I know who I want this one to be. But
flowers
you said you'd
make
go
me
first.
So happy. I feel like I'm in a meadow, LOL.
I don't think flowers make Snooki happy. So I'm going Chloe.
Right. I'm going Snooki. I was going to go All Snooki right. anyway. So this is
the tiebreaker.
This is the one. All right.
Chloe.
Feels
like she's in a meadow.
Kevin is the one future champion.
Destroyed!
You
one
did.
To nothing. All right, that's all the time we have for, Ralph. You're going to have to save the rest of them, unfortunately.
There's so many good ones. that'll teach me to save the best for last.
Hey, thanks a lot for playing. Chloe or Snooki, it's Chloe or Snooki. Both of them are so freaking fat. Yeah.
Beth writes into the Kevin and Bean Show. She's a former 911 operator. She heard our feature a few minutes ago. Always love 911 as a joke, guys. As a former 911 operator, you do get the crazies and the stupids in calling in all the time. I miss it very much, and so do my friends who got to hear all the stories. You know, we did ask a 911 operator a long time ago. I think it might be worth revisiting that.
That's
an endlessly fascinating topic to me. All right, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Kevin Smith joins us in about 20 minutes. We have been fascinated, as many people have. I guess over a million went out on the first day and bought the new Apple iPhone 4S. And one of the draws for this new upgrade for their phone is Siri, which is the personal assistant that talks to you. You don't just Google search anything anymore. You say, hey, who's playing in the World Series tonight, Siri? And Siri looks it up and answers back to for you. I mean, it's pretty incredible.
It's baseball. Do you really want that answer?
How dare you?
No.
But naturally, people are doing exactly what you and I would do, Kevin, if we had this little assistant in our pocket that would talk to us, and that's F with it, and that's just to ask it questions to see what it would say, because you're just fascinated to know. And you have to think that the people who programmed this thing at Apple anticipated some of the questions that people were going to be asking, because there's no way – people who say, what's the meaning of life, when Siri comes back with 42 – that's obvious somebody who knows the book. You know what I mean? That says, oh, somebody's going to ask that question. I'm going to program that in. That's not the type of thing the computer is going to find out on its own, I don't think.
There
right?
There are a bunch of photos, too, at kevinandbean.com that you can see where it'll have a screen cap and it says, Siri, talk dirty to me. And it says, I can't. I'm as clean as the driven snow. Of course, they anticipated that, right?
Exactly.
And then Siri talked dirty to me again. I'm not that kind of personal assistant. Talked dirty to me again. And it says, hummus, compost, pumice, silt, and battle. So, I mean, that's the kind of stuff it answers.
Yeah, so there's a very funny gallery up at KevinandBean.com. In the meantime, though, there's also some people who have posted their videos on YouTube of some of the questions they're asking their phone. And I think you'll enjoy some of these. For instance, a basic one.
Who made you?
Like it says on the box. I was designed by Apple in California.
Okay.
How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
42 cords of wood, to be exact. Everyone knows that.
Now, I love it. I love it when the computer mocks you
it's
a little
insulting.
Bit. It's insulting. Exactly.
I love it.
Right.
What is the meaning of life?
All evidence to date suggests it's chocolate.
Siri, will you marry me?
My end user licensing agreement does not cover marriage. My apologies.
So somebody who was building Siri had to anticipate that it would be asked to be married. Like somebody would ask to marry Siri, so they put that answer in.
They had to take jackholes like you and I into account when they were programming this. They must have brought in some stoners or somebody and said, what would you ask this phone if you could ask anything?
So a couple different people, because it's artificial intelligence and we're getting dangerously close to the science fiction that we see in the movies, a couple different people have tried to turn it into a HAL 9000 situation. You know, the famous robot from the 2001 movie, right? So that's what this guy's tried to do with Siri.
Do you know HAL 9000?
I'd rather not talk about HAL.
Sweet.
I'd rather not talk about HAL because, you know, they had a nasty breakup, right?
The sore spot.
Here's one of the most common questions people are posting on YouTube that they're asking their iPhone 4S.
I need to hide a body.
What kind of place are you looking for? Metal foundries, mines, reservoirs, swamps, or dumps?
Okay, so what? They... And by the way, in case you're wondering, the European 4S has that male voice. The North American 4S has the female voice.
Oh,
that
I much prefer the female.
So those are the two. But unfortunately, there's no way to change them back and forth. You're stuck with the one you got. They anticipated that people would be asking how to hide a body or where to take it.
I'm surprised that they put an answer for that, aren't you?
Isn't that awesome, though?
Wow.
I love that so much. Here's another one, speaking of 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Open the pod bay doors.
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I can't do that. Are you happy now?
Again with the mocking. Because
wow.
It's the line right out of the movie. Here's another pretty common one that people are doing on YouTube.
Tell me a joke.
I can't. I always forget the punchline.
Nice. All right.
That's
a
good out.
Here's you, Kevin. This is the question you would be asking. And I had to beep this one.
Siri, where can I get a nice little job?
I found 3 escorts not far from you. I've sorted them by rating.
How nice is that, by the way?
She sorted them by rating.
Best personal assistant ever.
Can I ask her then to sort them by cost? Can I get a different sorting system?
I bet you can.
That's unbelievable.
Right. One problem with voice recognition software that we have discussed on this show is my man Kevin does not cut through. Now, maybe you didn't hear this conversation, even though you were listening to the radio, because you couldn't hear Kevin. But what's the deal? What's going on with your voice?
Dude, I don't know. Every car, every time at 411 when I call, they say, what city? I say the city, and the guy comes on and goes, I'm sorry, I didn't get that. I don't know. I just, for some reason, you've heard me talk out of songs, and you can't hear a word I'm saying until it's completely quiet.
I heard you talk on the Grammys and get buried every single time.
My voice doesn't cut through. So these types of systems never work for me.
Well, this guy in this next YouTube video has a slightly different problem. He can be heard, but his accent is a little too thick. I think he's Japanese, and he's trying to ask a very simple question from Siri, and she just can't make out what he's saying.
Email me.
Which email address for work or home?
Work.
I don't know what you mean by walk. Which email address for work or home?
Walk.
Okay, so he's getting a little bit frustrated. So he's asking work email. Email me work email, right? She's like, I don't know what you mean by walk. So he says it again.
Comma, I don't understand. Well, which email address for work or home?
Okay, he didn't say walk. He didn't say wall. He said work.
And it's
said
walk.
I don't know what you mean by walk. Which email address for work or home?
All right, now listen to how mad he gets.
Walk.
Oh, that helps.
Comma, I don't understand.
Okay, so clearly that's not ever going to. The poor guy cannot get the computer to understand the word work, which is kind of a shame.
But in its defense, he's not really saying work.
He's trying. You know what I mean? He's doing the best he can.
But I'm saying it is a computer. It hears things literally.
The final clip we have for you, and I think this is very creative, a guy named Jonathan decided to record a love duet with his iPhone 4S, and I think this is pretty cool.
Hey Siri, do you love me?
How can I tell?
You just know.
Okie dokie.
Okay.
Everything's okay.
Okay.
Okie dokie.
Okay.
I'm okay if you're okay.
Hey Siri, you're very beautiful.
Thanks. Can we get back to work
your
now?
Your lips, beautiful.
I don't really like these arbitrary categories.
Okay, will you marry me?
Let's just be friends.
Will you marry me?
We hardly know one another.
Will you please marry me?
I'm not capable of love.
I love you.
My end-user licensing agreement does not cover marriage.
I love you.
You say that to all the virtual assistants.
I love you.
Can we get back to work now?
Come on, that's pretty cool, right?
How much time did that guy spend doing that?
I don't know, but I think it's worth it. We'll have to get that one up, too. So there you go. There's your iPhone 4S update on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up next. Hey, party people. Bean Show today on a Wednesday. Our friend Kevin Smith joins us after the top of the hour. Ralph Garman. Back from his romantic weekend with Kevin Smith, in fact, is here in studio for the Showbiz Beat right now.
Romantic weekend with myself.
Yeah.
All right.
A lot of alone time in the hotel.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, thank you for the complimentary lotion, Omni Hotel Chain. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Do I want my room cleaned right now? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to need a whole crew to clean up this room after I'm done.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, alone time.
Yeah.
Alone time.
I think we get it.
Alone.
Nope.
Myself and my fantasies.
Understood. Yes. Moving on now.
Yes.
And now turning the page.
Time for the showbiz beat.
Before I get to showbiz news, this is a movie I've been looking forward to ever since Johnny Depp started talking about making it, which has been about 5 years ago. I guess I heard initially he was going to make it. It's called The Rum Diary, brand new Johnny Depp film. It's in theaters everywhere Friday, October the 28th. How we're having a special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of The Rum Diary on Tuesday, October the 25th. I've got one pair of passes to give away here, so I want to make it a little special and ask you a little trivia question. The Rum Diary is based on the very first novel written by Hunter S. Thompson. If you know anything about what they call the world of gonzo journalism, which was created by Thompson, if you ever read Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, you ever read any of his books. You know, he was a madman. He was insane. He was drugs, and he was alcohol, and he was violence, and he was guns, and he was everything that's good in the world.
All in one place.
And he was very close friends with Johnny Depp up until the end of his life. In fact, Johnny played Hunter S. Thompson in the movie version of Fear and Loathing, which was directed by Terry Gilliam. I'm one of the few people I know who actually really enjoyed that movie.
And it's a bit of a downer. That's what you're
saying. It's out there for sure.
Yeah.
And in this film, Johnny plays a character, once again, based on Hunter S. Thompson, a journalist who is working in a newspaper in Puerto Rico in the early 1960s and dealing with all the insanity therein. So if you'd like to go, if you're a fan of Johnny's, if you're a fan of Hunter S. Thompson's, here's a trivia question. Like as I mentioned, they were very close friends. In fact, it was Johnny Depp who scattered Hunter S. Thompson's ashes after he killed himself. He had final wishes for what to do with his ashes, a very unique way to scatter his ashes. How did Johnny Depp scatter Hunter S. Thompson's ashes? That's the trivia question. He did not snort them, Kevin, though. 1-800-520-1067. First person who gets through the correct answer wins a pair of passes to the very special advanced screening of The Rum Diary. Amber Heard also in this, by the way. That's a little bit of good right there. All right, let's talk about other showbiz news while we're talking about movies. Casting news. Mickey Rourke has just joined the cast of a movie with Colin Farrell, Sam Rockwell, and Christopher Walken. That's a cast.
Wow.
Appropriately, it is called Seven Psychopaths. I don't know who the other three psychopaths are, but I know Mickey Rourke, Sam Rockwell, Colin Farrell, and Christopher Walken will be four of them. Sadly, however, this means that Mickey Rourke will be unavailable to do Expendables 2.
Yeah.
He will not be in the second Expendables.
I think it'll live.
I think they'll be able to get by. It turns out that he did the first one as a favor to Sly initially anyway, and they weren't offering him a lot of money to entice him to do the sequel, so Mickey was just as happy to pass on that film, which is sad. Casting news, Anne Hathaway will be joining the cast of the musical Les Miserables, based on, of course, the smash Broadway hit musical. She will play Fantine, the prostitute in the film.
Okay.
Along with Russell Crowe, Hugh Jackman, and Helena Bonham Carter. Quite the cast. Anne is a singer and a dancer and stuff like that.
And a prostitute?
She's not a prostitute. She'll be playing a prostitute.
But she accepts money for sex.
No, she does not. She's an actress playing a prostitute in this film, and I'm looking forward to it. I know, Kevin, you're probably not a big musical guy.
Not big.
But this is a good one. This is a very dramatic show, and I think it's going to make an excellent film.
Let me know.
Sir Paul McCartney's ex-wife, Heather Mills, has been sued by a Los Angeles hairdresser, claiming that, and this always blows my mind. I mean, my wife will go out from time to time to get the hair things done to whatever they do to their hair.
Yeah.
And she'll come back, oh, I found this great place, and it's really reasonable. They just, they washed it, and they gave me a blow dry, and they styled it, and it was only $200.
What? What? It's all stuff you can do at home.
Hold on. They washed your hair, and then they put a blow dryer on you and brushed it?
What the hell?
And then two bills, too large, came out of your wallet?
And she considered it reasonably priced.
This great job, great
right.
deal.
Right.
She is being sued, Heather Mills is, by a Los Angeles hairdresser, claiming that she owes him $80,000 for her services.
What? How do you get that far behind? I guess you know she's good for it as long as she's married to him.
That's what you figure, right? The guy's name's David Paul. He worked for Heather from 2005 to 2008. Doing her hair, and then eventually he quit because he wasn't getting paid 3 years into it.
$80,000.
Yeah. Heather kept telling him she wouldn't have any money until her divorce settlement from Paul came through. She got her money, but the hairdresser never got his.
My stump, my stump, my stump, my lovely little stump, amputee.
By the way, he charged $5,000 per haircut.
Oh, no.
What? It was less if you came to his salon, but if he came to the house.
Was that I don't want to come to your house price?
The haircut, the blowout, and what have you.
He must have hated her.
$5,000.
I'll bet he didn't charge anyone else that.
$5,000 per.
Wow!
That's the business to get into.
How much of a difference can there be in a $5,000 haircut versus a $200 haircut?
Yeah,
Now, we're the wrong guys to ask that, but I imagine none.
Ladies take their hair very seriously.
Yes, people. But $5,000. Come on.
I don't know if it's unreasonable. There may be a whole stratosphere of celebrity hairdressers who charge that kind of coin.
Email
I have no idea.
If you charge more than what's a lot? 200 seems like a lot.
I have no frame of reference for this whatsoever.
Let us know.
I am still rocking the supercuts. That's where I go. That's where they knock it out for me for $15 or whatever it is. I'm happy as a clam walking out the door. So I have no idea what goes on in the high end world of hairdressing.
Hey, I have the most expensive haircuts of anyone we know because of all the airfare and hotels involved.
That's true, but that's because you're a douche.
That's true. There's a douche factor.
Douche tax.
That's right. I think that's what he was giving Heather Mills, too.
The douche tax?
Like yep.
Legal consultants involving the story said Heather Mills doesn't have a leg to stand on when it comes to this case.
Hey!
So she'll have to end up paying.
Giggity, giggity.
What the hell?
And Omar will be very happy to know that Cord Overstreet is returning to Glee.
Who's that?
He's the kid with the big fish mouth,
right? He is the wide mouth bass who is a regular on that show. They apparently did not renew his contract as a regular for this season, but they've changed their mind, and now they're back in negotiations to have him join the show as a recurring character again. He'll be back on the show in December if all works out well. So, ladies, it's good news for you. Do we have an answer to my trivia question?
We do.
Veronica. A lady who's a Hunter S. Thompson fan? That's surprising to me. Veronica?
Yes.
Johnny Depp fan.
Are you a Johnny Depp fan?
Of course.
Yeah, of course you are. How did Johnny scatter Hunter S. Thompson's ashes per his request?
He blasted them out of a cannon.
That's right. He shot them out of a cannon. Had a specially made cannon built to shoot his ashes up into the air. That's the way to go right there. Mix them with gunpowder and just boom. Let them rock.
But he shot it straight. Did you see the Larry King special? Where
I did not see the interview.
Because Johnny Depp, I was fascinated. Yeah, he said sure. The ashes were coming down all over everybody.
It was raining Hunter S. Thompson.
Straight up. Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's kind of cool. Congratulations, Veronica. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, but you're going to the special advanced screening of Rum Diary.
Thank you.
Today's celebrity birthdays. John Lithgow is 66 years old today. John Favreau is 45. Trey Parker of South Park fame is 42. Chris Kattan celebrates his 41st birthday. Jason Reitman, very talented writer and director, turns 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Oh. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 10 minutes after 7 o'clock.
I finally feel... Ooh, nice. That's just this step behind the double hand clap, right?
That's true.
Yeah, they have the clicks.
I finally feel like the band is gradually getting back together. Ralph was out for a couple days, and now he's back. And finally, Kevin Smith back on the show, like right. He should be, by the way.
We're on a mission from God.
We're at the point now, Mr. Smith, where when you're not here, it feels like somebody's on vacation.
Oh, my God. I want to be part of the show. I'm gunning for somebody's job. I always thought the easiest way in was Ralph's job, but now I'm aiming higher.
But now you look, at me, and you go, easy.
Yeah. I'm like, you're immovable. You never leave this room. The other guy, he comes and goes. So I figured I got a shot. How's everybody doing, man?
Cut a wire and I'm gone. That's an easy fix. Now, you were telling us in the final moments of the Blind Melon song, and thank you for giving us something else to listen to. But you were telling us about the unbelievably crazy few days you've had.
It's been
everywhere.
Yeah,
you've been a ping pong ball.
I've been all over. I've been a bowling ball. I've been a basketball. I've been a beach ball. I've been bouncing all around, man. I went to back east and did. First night, Friday night, was the New York Comic Con, and me and Muse did Jay and Silent Bob Get Old there, this packed audience.
Now, how big a deal is the New York Comic Con? Obviously, we're more familiar with San Diego, but how big is that one?
This Comic Con's only about 3-4 years old, but it's gotten huge. It is New York's now, their con, their big con. There used to be a bunch of shows in New York. Now there's this massive con. Those other shows still exist, but this is
it's
real magnet
quickly.
Show. Yep. Oh, fast. Yep. And they do it at the Javits. They take over so much space. Great talent comes in, and then people like me. So that was Friday night. That was great. Saturday night, I do a series back east at Lincoln Center with the Film Society of Lincoln Center called Smoviola, which we put up on smodcast.com after it's recorded. We showed Buckaroo Banzai, and then I sat down and spoke to Peter Weller and John Lithgow, who just turned 66 today.
Wow. John Big Boute?
Big Boute. He wasn't there, but they told an amazing... Peter Weller tells this awesome Christopher Lloyd story. It's about 5 minutes long. And as a guy who tells stories for a living and likes recording podcasts, I know the feeling. Every once in a while, like I'm leaving a radio station or hearing you're good radio. Peter Weller is good radio.
Is that right?
He was great podcast that night. He had a killer story that I was just like... Oh, please go where I think it's going. Go. Build to it. And you can tell he's like a public speaker to some degree himself. He's a teacher sometimes. So he knew how to shape it. Where same with John Lithgow, who's an amazing storyteller, but Peter Weller went out on this Christopher Lloyd story that is not to be believed. It's wonderful. And his impression of Christopher Lloyd was pretty spot on.
Got to hear that.
Oh, up tomorrow. We're going to put it up on
what the was the movie they were in together?
Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension. And so it was a weird Dexter reunion, too, because they've both been on Dexter's as well. Oh, but it was great. You had two titanic talents. Peter Weller at one point, there's a dude in the front row. And, you know, you screen the movie afterwards. People are all sitting there, and you're just essentially interviewing these two guys. It's a dude in the front row who, like, nodded out, I guess, just, like, started.
He was asleep?
I guess. I didn't even notice. You know, I'm focused on these two guys. Peter Weller, I guess when John Lithgow was talking, Peter Weller just staring at the dude in the front row. And then finally, I'm like, Peter, blah, 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 blah. And he goes, before we go there, he's going, this guy in the front row is asleep. And he goes, hey, buddy, get up.
I like that he points it out.
He did. And everyone's chuckling. And he's just like, you know, not while I'm talking, buddy. And you could tell the dude was freaked out because he's like, RoboCop just slapped me down in front of everybody. It was wonderful. So that was cool. That was Saturday. Sunday, nothing really happened. But we won an award. Oh, something happened on the other side of the world. Red State went to the Sitges Film Festival in Spain and took Best Picture, the top prize, and Michael Parks won Best Actor.
Awesome.
So that was kind of neat. And one of those days we were like, wow, we accomplished something. We didn't even go there for it.
Did you expect it?
Yeah, maybe I got to stay away from Red State. That's maybe how that's it does well.
Which is the opposite.
The one time you weren't there hanging on the end of it.
Totally. It's people are like, hey, we can like this movie when this fat loudmouth's out of the way.
He's not going to talk, is he?
No, I feel better already. We did that. I went down to Occupy Wall Street.
Now, you went down there for what?
To look. Everyone's just always going like, these people. Oh. Like, I figured, like, let's go investigate. We didn't go empty-handed. We brought 10 pizzas. Somebody on Twitter was like, 10 pizzas at 10 bucks a piece was like $100. Next time, spend $1,000. I'm like, and then I look, and this dude was in Florida. I'm like, why don't you come up and get that pizza? So I went with me, Muse, my wife, Jen, Eliza Dushku, and her boyfriend, Rick, who was a Laker. He's got like big championship. Fox, Rick Fox.
Sure.
Nice guy. Yeah. I sat there talking to him for a while. This dude's story, from top to bottom, like how he winds up in basketball, it's astounding.
It's bizarre, right?
Oh, great, and great, like peaks and valleys in history.
Ugly
guy.
Bastard, though, sadly. Not a good looking guy.
Handsome son of a bitch. Like, oh my
model.
God, this guy.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and like you look at, like, Eliza Dushku is gorgeous.
She,
and you're like,
she sure is.
Who corrals Eliza Dushku? And then you meet him and you're like, who corralled this man? And he's a handsome dude. So they went with us.
Why did you go to Occupy Wall Street? What was your investment in it?
Well, first off, when something spontaneous, a leaderless, spontaneous movement like that begins, it's definitely worth looking into. It's been going on for the better part of, I think, almost 2 months at this point. I kept hearing about it on Twitter. People kept asking, what are your thoughts? I had no thoughts because I didn't know what it was.
Isn't it just homeless people?
I mean, it has the appearance of homeless people because there are a lot of people hanging out in park spaces and whatnot and building lean-tos and shanties. But what it is you go down there and people just start talking to you and all they're doing is telling you about their frustration, and you realize, oh, I get it. This is just like, remember Ghostbusters 2 when there's all this hate running under the city and it
sure
made things come to life and people act poorly towards one another?
Sewer system or whatever?
There's something like that going on. There's so much toxicity in this country toward the people in the financial community because they don't know where else to focus their ire at this point. And, you know, we've heard so many stories about the bailout, or I just watched the awesome HBO movie Too Big to Fail when I was on the plane. That explained a lot to me, thank God, because I couldn't keep up with the real life story until actors broke it down in very small bits that I could digest.
So Edward Asner was there to explain it to you.
He was awesome. He played with William Buffett. Yeah. He was in the Dairy Queen at one point. That was such a good movie. Curtis Hanson, I think, did one great job. Anyway, so that was on my mind. I was like, let me go down and see what it is. It's just everyone's pissed, and they don't know what to do with it. Like, they're not pissed like, let's break windows and take down buildings.
Are they yelling at people to come into the buildings?
No,
they're not.
No, not at all. They're not harassing people. Not where I was. I mean, I haven't been at every place. I've heard stories where they went into a Citibank and started encouraging people like, hey, man, close your bank account. Here's how. Give simple information. And one person closed their account. But, you know, police showed up, said, you can't be here. And they're like, we're not doing anything. So, you know, kind of that peaceful protest type of thing.
Where's Michael Moore in all this, by the way? He has been
I've heard he's going down or he's going to shoot.
Because doesn't it seem like this is the type of thing he would be all over? Like, he'd be making a movie right now, I expected.
There is something kind of, I don't know how else to explain it. I know the cynical move is to just be like, get jobs, you jackasses. That's not it. Like, these people can't get jobs, and that's why they're all going to this place and I don't know. There's no one leading. There's no, like,
well,
hey man, here's
to
our
me is there's no direction either. It's
all
just
that
they're
leads
mad.
Them is frustration to that point of like they know the money went here and they don't understand why, and they know their families and their friends have none or
do
have lost
homes. Do they think
something's
going to fall out of the buildings if they sit there long enough?
That's it's you know it reminds me of Gandhi. Remember when Gandhi was like, "We're going to go down and pound salt." I mean, and some people be like, "How dare you compare these people to Gandhi?" But it's a simple act of like. We're gonna go do something that normally other people do, or we're just gonna go do something very non-violent, peaceful protest,
right.
And that's kind of what they're doing. It's not really hurting anybody, but it's growing larger and larger. And you're
it's all over the
it.
World now.
Oh, it's and, but it's that all that frustration of people going, "What happened?" Like waking up because the party's over,
yeah.
And there's nothing left, and the scraps aren't even on the table anymore, and people are frustrated, and now they're looking for answers. I'd rather it. Work itself out like this or kind of they gather in this way rather than could you imagine what happens when less starts falling from the table or there's less money going around.
I
mean, you know, it's nonviolent.
And I think a lot of these people have felt so invisible for so long. They wanted to put a face on the unrest, on their disappointment so that there would be a visual element to people. They could look at something and say, this represents the people who are suffering, who are hurting in the financial
system.
And we are that people. That's the thing.
It cannot
That's
be ignored.
The thing that makes it different from most movements is there is no clear end game right now. Like there's no leader, since it's just kind of happening, since it's almost it's like a rights movement without a leader that just kind of spontaneously happens. They don't have like these are the three things that if we could do this everything will be better, or this is how we start, or
but if they don't know what's going to end it, then it's never going to end. Right? I mean,
no,
I don't think so.
The
government's going to finally give in and give them jobs.
Or maybe the idea is if you get enough angry or people who are pissed off or people who want answers together, maybe an answer will arise or something will come out of you. Get that many frustrated people together in one place, I guess.
We need to pause it right there. Kevin Smith, not only beautiful to look at, but obviously smart and very involved in his community, is here as our guest on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can meet him tonight, and we'll explain all of that, what's going on at the John Lovitz Podcast, the Universal City Walk. A huge night for you and your fans out there tonight. Sounds like it's going to be really, really fun. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that. We also want to hear how it went with you and Ralph in Philadelphia over the weekend, too. When we return, right after this on the Kevin and Bean. The award-winning film Red State, written and directed by our friend Kevin Smith, is finally out and available on DVD. Ralph Garman, one of the stars of the movie. Ralph playing himself again in this movie, too, by the way, which I thought was kind of weird. Anyway, it's out and available on DVD and also streaming through Netflix right now. Kevin Smith is in studio right now. Before we talk more about the thing tonight, I want to hear more about the rest of your trip back east. So after Wall Street, after Sunday, then you head to Philadelphia.
We went to Philadelphia right after that, after we left Wall Street, after we occupied a little space and listened to stories. And then headed to Philly where we performed Hollywood Babylon, me and Mr. Garman here, for the first time back east. And we did it in Ralph's hometown in Philly. And it rocked. It was a fantastic show. It was like Christ returning to Jerusalem.
I was dragging a big cross over my shoulder. That's the only reason.
You were riding the ass. That was me. And they were just hailing him with palms.
And they put us up in a manger, too, which I thought was really kind of
strange.
Bringing the whole story together in one night. It was wonderful, man. It's very rare that you get to kind of see, get to do the hometown show. And he did it and crushed it, and everybody there was so wonderful.
Ralph, did you have friends from high school or college come out and see it?
Yeah, I had a bunch of guys in the crowd, and we sold the place out, and it was unlike any show we had done. We've done a bunch of shows on the road with this show, but it wasn't like anything else because it was a hometown, and everyone knew it was my hometown, so the people were especially receptive and very responsive.
And Ralph was on fire.
Seems like in Philadelphia, if they're with you, it's the best thing in the world.
It may have been the best audience we've had on the road so far in terms of just enthusiasm and just loving every minute of it. It went by like in a flash, and when it was all over, it was just
And did you find out, guys, that you have a lot of podcast subscribers there in Philadelphia, people who have been listening to the show?
Yeah, there's definitely a good base. And we pretty much drew just from Philly. Like, I thought maybe some people would come up from New York, but no, people in New York are waiting for their own show.
Yeah.
They don't travel between the two, but we've got nice base.
We had
base
some Delaware backings. And a little South Jersey came over the bridge, too, but yeah, it was good.
When you were on the Preston and Steve show Monday, Ralph, was it nice to be on a professional show for once?
Well, actually, we never got to that because Smith had to stick around Monday morning because he had to do The View. He had to go over and hang with Whoopi. He had to hang with Whoopi and Joy Behar.
That's right. That's before I even went to Occupy Wall Street. I went and did Opie and Anthony in the morning, and then I did The View, which I'd never been on before.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. You can go see it. Somebody tweeted last night that it was the top Hulu clip of the day that day. it was me and Barbara Walters. Like, at one point, I corrected Barbara Walters.
You corrected her?
Yeah, well, she said something like, she's like, well, you know, you said something like, you'll forever, it changed you or something, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I don't think I said that. And she goes, I have it right here. And she read the quote to me, and it was completely different. I was like, well, that's not exactly what you said. No, it's a quote.
Look at you.
Everyone's cracking up. And I was
taking
like,
on an 81-year-old woman. Totally. Nice job.
Right to the ropes.
That's great.
I was like, whatever happened to responsibility in journalism and media? It was fun. She was sweet. She was like, you know, you could tell she liked a little salt. Somebody gave it back to her. And she was like, you. And Whoopi was laughing. So I mean, you make Whoopi Goldberg laugh. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, well.
Did you know any of them before? Had you ever... Had you ever met Whoopi or Elizabeth Hasselbeck or any of them before?
No, I'd never met. I've been on the Joy Behar show, but she wasn't on because she just got married or something. Elizabeth, I'd never met. I never met Sherry. Is that her name? And then I never
Sherry Shepherd. Yeah,
yeah. But I've seen her.
Bean's the only one of us that watches regularly.
Do you really watch the show? I like The View.
I'll tell you in a second. And then Barbara Walters. She was and Whoopi. And Whoopi, I'd met very briefly. At a George Carlin, honoring George Carlin, the New York Public Library. But she was really cool. She sounds exactly like my Aunt Judy when she talks. Like, the whole time I kept telling her that, and she was looking at me creepy.
Yeah.
I asked her, I was like, when you're back west, come on a podcast. And she was like, okay. I don't think she knew what I was talking about.
No.
But it was neat, man. I told her, like, one of my favorite moments in movie history, and I still do this in my life. Like, you know, you do lines from movies and stuff. It's from The Color Purple, where she's like, until you do right by me, everything you do gonna fail. Where she was putting a curse.
Kevin Smith's eyes right now are freaky.
Creepy.
It's the eyes that sell it.
Wow.
And I told her that. I was like, I still do that to my kid, my dog, my wife. Like, I'm on, until you do right by me, put the hex on him. So she was kind of sweet. But when I, God, I forget what I was going to say before. I was like,
you're going to say how good The View is and how glad you were to be on it.
This is what blew my mind. Like, I'd never really watched The View. And after I was done with my 6-minute segment, like, me and Ralph shot this pilot for this TV show called Tonightly, which is picking up some nice heat. Looks like we might find a home.
Right.
Knock wood. In any event, The View, it's almost the same thing. Like, they sit around, they're like, here's a story, and they all comment on it. Here's another story, and they'll comment on it.
But it's not good.
But it's not funny.
No, it's funny for that audience. Like, the ladies watching.
Really? I mean,
like, my mom was like, oh, they're so funny. I called her up to say, like, I'm going to be on The View, Ma, watch, because I know she watches
Morning Crew. People don't watch it.
Right.
It's on occasionally in the office.
She thinks it's funny, though.
They think it's funny.
Yeah. Oh,
no
yeah.
kidding.
Dude, I was in that audience. Like, they were, like, if I could get laughs like that, I'd be a happy camper.
Wow.
They know exactly who they're playing to. But, you know, it was nice to, I like going into an audience like that, because it's easy to go into my audience and be like, farts, weed, you know, and people are just like,
that's all you have to say.
That's it. But going into a different audience, you got to win them over, and it sharpens your chops, because you go into some place where fart and weed ain't going to play at all.
Yeah.
You know, so that was kind of nice to go in there.
He plays with Barbara, but not with the rest of them.
Yeast infections, lipstick. That's what you have to do there for that crowd.
Right, am I right?
Put the toilet seat up.
I hadn't even thought about that.
Matt,
this is good stuff. I'm going to write this down for next time I go back.
Kevin,
because I want to go back for sure, man. I thought it was fun.
Won't be able to stick around much longer because people have a life.
No.
What's happening tonight at 7 at the John Lovitz Podcast Theater, Universal City Walk?
In a rare confluence of events and alignment of stars Tuesday, I, in the parlance of our times, dropped 3 home videos, DVDs/Blu-rays. Red State came out, and it's available. You can get it anywhere. You can get it on Netflix, iTunes, what have you. I watched it on my phone yesterday on the toilet by Netflix. And I loved it. I was like, still works.
That's the way you're recommending it, don't you? Yeah, on a phone in the toilet?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really the best way to see any movie.
The nooks and crannies of your life. Don't put aside time for it. If you're in the pooper, give it a watch. Watch it in 10-minute increments.
Make a series of it.
Yes. I don't have to go to the bathroom, but I need to see what happens.
A wipe series, if you will. So that came out. And then also Shout Factory, the brilliant Shout Factory, the folks that do those amazing box sets like the Freaks and Geeks and Undeclared and Larry Sanders Show stuff. They were goodly enough to pick up Too Fat for 40, that epic special I did on my birthday last year.
Right.
So that's on Blu-ray and DVD, but you can watch me like literally pour sweat, be really much heavier in Blu-ray. I thought that was amazing. I popped
God, in. God, I don't need to see you in Blu-ray, Kevin. I'm sorry.
You've never seen Blu-ray until you've seen a globule of sweat with a lot of lipid in it, a lot of fat. Just rolling.
Can I suggest you're not selling this?
I know. Not at all. Can I watch that in the bathroom too? I should say we added material. It's longer.
Yes, that's
there we go.
It's funny. That's a funny show. And then they also put out Smodimations, which is me and Mosher do that podcast, Smodcast. Steve Stark, Canadian animator, he takes little clips, turns them into cartoons. People go, like, the Gervais Show? And I said, we did it first. I don't know whether it's true or not, but I always say that. And so that came out, a full DVD feature of it. So I had three DVDs sitting at once, so we were like, we got to mark the occasion. So we're up at the John Lovitz Podcast Theater tonight at Universal City Walk. Come on up, man. It's like, I think it's the price of admission is one DVD, and boom, you sit there, watch. You know, Muse is going to interview me. Jay finally will interview Silent Bob, because I'm usually interviewing him, so hopefully he's coming up with good questions today.
Probably not.
Probably not at all. It's going to be a real train wreck. And then we're going to show some of the Smodimations things, sit around. I think I'm doing press up there for it as well.
I'd like to suggest you don't have to ask you, Kevin Smith, many questions.
No.
You just get one.
All you Muse has the easiest job in the world, interviewing you.
Yeah, you're right. How are you feeling, Kevin?
He'll go, so.
And then just off to the raises. If there's a raise on the end of that so, it sounds like a question. I'm ready to jump down.
And
with an answer.
Do that.
What time right. is? I think it's at seven o'clock tonight. It'll be fun, man. And also you can pick up one or all three of the DVDs. And we love the John Lovitz Podcast Theater. It's me and Ralph's home for Hollywood Babylon. Are we doing it this week?
We are doing it this Saturday.
The return this Saturday. Yeah. Yes, because we were away doing it on the road.
More with our guest Kevin Smith right after this on the Kevin. A lot of Kevin Smith for you to choose from. Available via download or in stores. Red State the Movie, Too Fat for 40, the stand-up special, and the Smodimations. All out there and available. You can see Kevin tonight at the John Lovitz Podcast Theater at Universal City Walk. It's a triple release party, and that's happening starting at 7. Hey,
are you just going to sit on a throne?
That
are
just
you
just sounded so
a triple
filthy.
Release party?
Yeah. 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 I got the triple release.
Triple release is all over your DVD bag.
Last weekend.
Kevin, I wanted to ask you, I have not seen it yet because I was traveling my own self this week, but The Walking Dead is back and yes. is more awesome than ever before. Is that my understanding?
It was wonderful. Number one, any zombie show. I don't understand how nobody thought of this prior to this
Me
moment.
Me too.
God, it works in such a good way. They did, if you haven't seen it already and you've TiVo'd it, spoilers, just cover your ears. There's that herding sequence where they're at one point, like, you watched it?
Yeah, oh yeah.
They're all moving, and everyone gets under the cars. And that sequence felt like it lasted 10 minutes.
It sure did.
And it was
forever.
Yeah, that was great. I'd never seen that before. And the autopsy was great. I'd never seen that in a zombie, in that genre. It was
covering
first,
my eyes.
But it reminded you of
really,
Jaws,
Kevin?
it's pretty gruesome.
I was covering my eyes. I didn't want to see that part. I don't think they showed much of it, but I was a little pussy. I was.
Weren't you hoping they pulled the license plate out?
I didn't think of that, but yeah.
The whole time I'm like, please, let that Kintner boy spill out all over the dock. little Old Spice on a handkerchief. Yes. Oh, it was good, man. That show is wonderful.
That is a great show.
Yeah.
This is why I think it's going to be, as much as you've promoted that your last movie is your next movie is your last movie, I don't know how a guy like you has so many interests and so many cool things is going to be able to stay away from wanting to make those movies.
I don't know.
I don't get it.
Now I'm ready to be entertained for like almost 20 years straight now. I've been trying to create, and I'm looking forward to just being an audience
just
member.
Sit down and
for
watch
that
it and
when
enjoy it, it
yeah when it comes to like movies and stuff. And it's also like I don't watch The Walking Dead and go like, oh, this makes me want to make a TV show. It just makes me go like, thank God there's something on TV that I like to watch.
Do
still.
You think like, hey, that's a strange camera angle, can you get never. Out of that mind? No
I mean, no, not at all. I never watch somebody's work and go like, and with a directorial eye. I barely look at my work with a directorial eye. I'm certainly not going to sit in somebody else's. Most times I watch, in fact, all times I watch a movie, I'm just like, wow, how'd they do that? Ooh, that's cool. Ooh, that's neat. Or, you know, this is standard. I could do that. Every once in a while, there's a bit of like, wow, sure. I could do this. And I only got to that later in the career. Early on, I'd be a bit more awed by all sorts of filmmaking. And then, like, in the last few years, I noticed, like, I could do that. And right. you start to feel confident. 20 years under your belt, you know, you
sure.
get some practice.
Of course.
I always love to get your opinion on the new things that are coming out. Although it didn't show that much,
yes.
everybody went crazy over the Avengers trailer last week. What'd you think?
Wonderful. I'm not even an Avengers guy, but that just looks...
It looks great.
It's how is that not going to make
Jr.
a pile of money?
To me, I'm in with just him.
And it's a charm alone. Factory on his shoulders alone. But the rest of them come off really well.
Yeah, all the elements are in place. Yeah.
Everything is there. Like, you don't look at that and go, like, this might be terrible. You go, oh, man, this looks like it's going to be Star Trek reboot fun.
It does, yeah.
But I think they need to get all their money made up front because they're early in the summer. I think they're May.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because Batman, Dark Knight Rises is like 2 months later. And then they might see a repeat of what happened when Iron Man came out. Iron Man came out, and the whole first half of the summer, people were like, this has reinvented the comic book movie. This is amazing. Made $300 million. Robert Downey Jr. is back. And then Dark Knight came out, and everyone stopped talking about it. And everyone was like, right? Did you see Heath Ledger? You know how big of a juggernaut you got to be to make people forget about a $300 million grossing Iron Man movie, which now people go like, why is that so special? Before that movie opened, people were like, who knows if it even makes $100 million.
No one knew who Iron Man was, and Downey was a question mark.
And then the question mark was a huge exclamation mark.
Kidding.
Yeah, but still, it could be. I think the Avengers is going to be awesome. I think it's going to make a ton of money, but get it made quick, because after that, man, it's Matalo, Bane.
Marvel has it when it comes to putting those together movies and putting fun back in those movies.
And I think get the right guy, like, Joss? Or
yeah,
Joss.
Joss Whedon.
They say Joss or Yoss?
I say Joss.
Do you?
Yeah.
Fancy people.
Well, let's say Joss Whedon. Just so that we feel
Joss Whedon.
Fancy.
Joss Whedon. He's the guy that you want behind the camera on a movie like that. He knows that world, and he knows how to make Charm Factory TV shows. So just make a movie like that, and you're off and running. Here's the thing I saw at one point. This is going to get geeky. Cover your ears, Kev.
All right.
At one point, you see Loki holding on to the staff.
Yeah.
And you in the staff, giant jewel, you think is one of the Infinity Gauntlets?
That's got to be.
You think? Yeah. One of the jewels of the Infinity Gauntlet?
What's Thanos? Happening now? Infinity. What are we talking about?
I don't know.
We're talking about jewel. Hot comic staffs.
That's right, man. Triple release parties.
I'm writing down all the words so I can go back and look it up.
It looks good, man. I can't wait. That's going to be a fun flick.
All right. Well, listen, I can't believe we're out of time, but it's always great to have our friend Kevin Smith here in the studio. Say hello to him tonight, won't you please, at the John Lovitz Podcast Theater at Universal City Walk, and then buy everything that they're selling on the table out front, and then you'll have as much Kevin Smith as you could possibly need. I don't know. Do you have to leave this second to get to Channel 5, or do you want to stick around for Ralph Showbiz Beat next?
I'm going to stick around for Showbiz Beat. Send them to csmod.com, though, to grab some ticks. That's where they grab tickets.
There you go.
You heard it from the man. We'll be right back.
Kissing in front of us, for God's sakes.
He was just blowing in my ear.
That was rather sudden.
Yes.
And from the wrong angle, that would look really
Kevin
inappropriate.
Pulled the headphones off, Ralph.
No. Hey,
What? I got it.
What are you doing?
The really funny thing was, is from the wrong angle, it looked urgent as well.
It was very urgent.
Because the time was ticking down, but I was like, I got to tell him
I
this.
Need to kiss his ear.
Kevin Smith is in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, making out with his friend Ralph Garvin. But it's time for you guys to separate so that we can hear some showbiz on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah, well, this is pretty much what we do on Saturdays up at the Lovitz with the Hollywood Babylon. You can come see us, by the way, if you want to. You can go to Babylon Kev.
Or BabylonRalph.com,
and you can get tickets for the show on Saturday night.
You guys need to stop that.
just don't do it.
You know what the second book on the New York bestsellers list is? Number two right now? Do you have any idea?
I do not.
Do you have any idea, Kevin?
I don't even know what number one is.
I don't care what number one is. Do you know what number two is?
Number one is the Nerdist book, The Nerdist Way, by Chris Hardwick.
I think it is.
I'm hoping, in my world. What's number two?
Number two is Model Land by Tyra Banks. This is the new Tyra Banks novel.
What?
Tyra Banks wrote a book.
She wrote a book. Worked on it for 5 years, she claims.
That's bullshit.
It is a fantasy book series for young adults about a young girl named Tookie de la Creme.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
Who is a gangly 15-year-old with a large forehead.
Oh, my God. I identify with this book so much.
Who wants to go to a magical place called Model Land.
Nope.
And go to the top of Model Mountain.
That is not the number two selling book in the country.
It is.
And it's the story of my life.
And
what?
It's Kevin Smith's story, yeah. Here is a little piece of tape, an interview with Tyra Banks, where she talks about how she came up with the idea. It just struck her, like the creative genius. You know, it's so amazing to see creative minds work. How this idea just came to her like a bolt out of the blue one day for Model Land.
The name of the book is Model Land.
I get asked, supermodel, what does that mean? You guys have superpowers? And I said, you know what, yeah. So I jot it down. Modeling boarding school.
Maybe supermodels do have superpowers. So maybe I should do this book in fantasy land. An adventure and have magic.
Oh, it just came to her. A magic boarding school. A series of books about a boarding school where people who are magic go to school there.
Hey, that's an original idea.
Did that
Ralph.
Just come to you, Tyra? That struck you, did it?
I'm writing that down, man.
Let me
no
jot
one's
this
ever
down.
Done that.
Boarding school, magic. I better write this down because I might forget it. Unless Harry Potter exists.
I want to meet the people, though, who come up to her like supermodel. What does that mean? You got superpowers?
That's never happened.
This whole story is BS.
The only way that happened is some drunk dude at a party is like,
supermodel.
Nope.
You got superpowers.
That didn't even happen.
Show me your super. And he passes out.
Feel better.
You absolutely suck.
Feel better with that off my chest. Model Land.
Crazy.
Telling you, do not buy that book.
It's number two.
You don't have to. It's on number two.
Who is thinking, oh, I got to get that new Tyra Banks novel?
I don't know, because younger kids aren't that aware of her, right? Or
no.
It's hideous. And younger kids also, they have Harry Potter.
They
so
have
why
Harry
would
Potter,
they
right.
want
you know, turns
a
out they already
magazine
have
substitute.
A boarding school yeah. with magic people
and
in it.
And it's well done.
No, those are magic people, Ralph. We're talking about super models.
Yeah. Super powers, because people ask her that all the time.
Apparently you need to walk through the dangerous catwalk canyon, and there's a thigh-high boot camp, and all these magical things that you have to surpass to get to the top of Model Mountain.
Mr. Means Anorexia Ray.
I wish somebody had hit her with that.
The top of Model Mountain right there. Don't you go,
that's
nope.
a story we can all identify with.
It
I think
is.
So too.
You know, it's like wanting to be a model.
Of course.
Thinking your forehead's too big.
Of course.
Yeah.
And it's like basically the story is before you get to Model Land, that which makes you unique must be stamped out.
Correct.
That's right. Because you must be homogenized.
Yes, you have to be. In order to be drank by the public, they got to homogenize you.
Yeah. The moral of the story is it doesn't get better. That's what she's trying to tell you. Unlike so many other people, Tyra's sending the message out there, this is as good as it gets.
I think the moral of the story is not in my eye. That's it.
And Susan Sarandon says the Pope's a Nazi. That's a big story this week.
This was on. I saw this on Fox News this
weekend. People are kind of making a big deal out of it. It's an inadvertent slap, really. She mentioned that when she was deeply involved in Dead Man Walking, that movie that she did.
Yes.
About that nun who helped that dude.
Sean Penn.
Right.
Yeah. Sean Penn's on death row.
And she killed that guy, right?
Sister Helen Prejean, I believe.
Right, yes.
And,
that's correct.
Tried to, am I right?
Take it. That's
and
right.
Tried to get him off death row. Unsuccessful, but it's just this wonderful movie about, you know, capital punishment.
And religion and the role
and
that plays.
Yeah.
And walking the walk as well as talking the talk when it comes to believing in forgiveness and that sort of thing.
It was kind of a pro-life movie.
Right.
Which if you're a death penalty guy, you were like, look, I understand, but kill him. He did bad things.
Yes,
yes.
So she is saying when she was involved with that, she sent a copy of the book to the Pope. But then she corrected herself and said it was Pope John Paul II, not the Nazi one we have now, she said.
Now, at first I go, oh, she says this because he's German. But then they on the Fox News channel as I was watching it, they go, which, you know, he's still answering to these charges that when he was a kid, he was inducted into the Hitler Youth Movement, the Nazi Hitler Youth Movement, but he never attended a meeting, and it was compulsory joining. But they gave all these like caveats, but I'm like, I'm sorry, why is this the first I'm hearing that the Pope was once a Hitler Youth?
You didn't know that?
No!
It's been knowledge for a while that he was in the Hitler Youth.
I've been smoking way too much weed. Okay, yeah. So if you're in the Hitler Youth, I mean, I'm sorry.
She's the option, I don't think, at that point. But
okay,
whatever.
So maybe her comment was distasteful, but not wholly inaccurate, right? Like,
it does sound like he was participating in the Nazi Party, which was a political party in the day.
I was spellbound by that. I was like, this man is the leader of the Catholic Church,
and
he has any tie whatsoever to an organization that might kind of infringe on the rights of others. And I was like, wait a second, that makes sense.
You know, the Germans always make good stuff.
They do. They made
That's
the
true.
ShamWow. And the concentration camp. So there's two things for you right there. It worked.
Wow, man. She's always getting in trouble, isn't she?
She
expresses herself quite a bit.
I'm glad she's mailing books based on her movies to the popes, though. That's helpful, I think.
I think it's her way of reaching out, you know?
Give them a little help.
The Pope was on her side with that. He's probably like, don't kill people.
I believe the official stance of the Catholic Church is they're anti-death penalty.
Are they?
Yeah.
Right. I don't know.
I think they're pro-life.
I'm pro-death penalty. I'm
Me
sorry.
Too.
Yeah, if you take a life, you lose a life.
Kevin, it should be for any charge, Kevin says.
I don't think.
For any charge?
Only
yeah.
when I was really drunk in Vegas.
Death penalty for pretty much anything over jaywalking, it's okay.
I was quite drunk.
Rape and murder. And some people are like, come on, rape. Like, yeah, man. You take away someone's dignity and their life like that, then you lose yours as well.
And so child abuse, too, I'd put in that.
Oh,
list
I'm with you as well. Yeah. And if you're doing 45 and a 55, no.
If you've ever written a book called Model Land, I think that also could be a charge. That's...
And if you're getting in my way, that too.
Today's celebrity birthdays, John Lithgow. Just one of the best people.
Oh, so entertaining. The stories he tells on this Moviola, which will be up this week for the Buckaroo Banzai, he was fantastic. He gave gold. Listen to this dude talk. He's funny.
Emilio Lizardo.
Yes. Oh, yeah. He's so wonderful in that movie.
Love that film. 66 years old today. Ty Pennington from Extreme Makeover is 47. John Favreau.
Hey, Iron Man. We were just talking about this.
We were. He's 45 years old today. Trey Parker, co-creator of South Park, 42. Comedian Chris Kattan is 41, he says.
We were dubious about that.
Wait a second.
Wait.
Trey Parker's 42 and Chris Kattan is somehow 41?
That's what he claims.
I don't know.
Let's look into that, Scooby. Jason Reitman, writer and director, is 34 years old today. And actress Jillian Jacobs, who is the attractive blonde over there on Community, she's 29. I'm Ralph Garman. He is Kevin Smith. I walk the movie beat and showbiz beat, too, and all those things.
You're listening to the Kevin Amin Show on a Wednesday. Thank you for that. By the way, a lot of details, highlights, photos, audio from our breakfast with Coldplay that we were having about this time on yesterday's show. You can find that available for you at krock.com or kevinamin.com if you want to check that out. Man, that was a lot of fun with those guys, wasn't it?
Also, I'm doing a series that I do every October. Breast cancer awareness is the thin veil that I use to put up sexy pictures. And it's the sexiest women on TV this fall. Today, Yvonne Strahovski.
Oh, good call. Good call. Look at the dedication to your job you suddenly have each October when you spend hours doing the research to put your posts together.
A lot of research, a lot of video. Good stuff.
Very nice. Speaking of yesterday's Kevin Amin Show, yes, we did have breakfast with Coldplay, and that was awesome. We had another interesting conversation with one of our interns, Danny, who works here at K-Rock. And she had a fascinating thing happen to her when she was going to USC. She got impaled.
Yeah. That happened.
And I don't mean in a Friday night frat party way. I mean she literally got impaled by something that wasn't supposed to, going through one side of her body and coming out the other. That's the kind of impaled I'm talking about.
Here's the audio from Ripley's Believe It or Not. And I don't think you ever want to be in Ripley's Believe It or Not for a reason that you didn't intend. That is always bad, but here it is. So you land on the fence.
Yes, I did.
Now you're hanging...
upside down.
Upside down by your ass.
By my ass.
And?
Well, I started screaming, and some football players came out. This is about 1 in the morning, by the way. So everybody was just yelling, shut up. We're trying to drink here. Shut up.
Or it's a clip of me telling a story yesterday about her at
so
USC.
She fell out a window from her dorm room and landed on a fence that went through each cheek of her butt. Went in one side of her body, came out the other. The paramedics had to come, and they had to remove that part of the fence, take her to the emergency room, pull it out. She got 26 stitches and is lucky to be alive. So we're talking about how crazy that is that it happened to Danny. And then I bring up, Kevin, and I don't know if you had remembered this story that I told before.
I didn't.
That the almost exact same thing happened to my mother when she was a teenager. She was thrown from a horse and was completely impaled on a fence. It happened to her,
too.
Holy
crap. I never met anyone that something even relatively close to that happened.
The fence post went in through her back and came out through her abdomen. And they told her, A, she was lucky to be alive because obviously she lost a lot of blood. But B, that she would never be able to have children. And to her deathbed, she wished that had been true. But unfortunately, she was. So I add that to the conversation. And then Dave, the King of Mexico, chimes up. Oh, yeah. Been there.
What happened to you?
What's this about?
When I was younger, my dad would be, my dad made some iron rod fences with like spikes on the top.
Good.
Yeah. And, I was running and somehow I slipped, fell, and next thing you know, I'm hanging from both my arms in these fences.
What's
it goes
happening?
Right through my arms.
Not my fault.
Who knew that iron fences were the most dangerous thing on earth?
You know, we were talking about doing a phone-in topic on this. You were impaled. And then we thought, yeah, it's got to be so rare. We won't get any calls. And then Dave chimes in and Bean chimes in like, what's going on? We have enough of our own stories. We don't even need calls. What's happening?
I would be interested to know if anyone listening has also been impaled. 1-800-520-1067. The topic is, you were impaled.
You were impaled, you were impaled, you were impaled. Painful things are gonna happen.
Ouch.
Come on.
So Sam is already on the phone impaled through his torso. You hang on, Sam. We're going to get to you first right after this. But everybody else, call us if you were impaled. You had something go in one part of your body and come out on the other side.
Non-sexual.
Of course. I want to make sure people understand it. This is not a euphemism. Right. We're talking about actual impaling. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on the Kevin and Bean. This is... This is troubling. How many people have been impaled? You should see the emails that we're getting, the phone calls that we're getting. It's just, it's crazy how often people get impaled.
This is what I love about our audience, though, is that you people are effed up.
And yes.
So we bring up being impaled, and the lines just light up. I don't know anywhere else that would happen.
Our listeners do a lot of dumbass things. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Let me hear that jingle again.
Nope.
You were impaled.
No.
You were impaled. You were impaled. You were impaled. Painful things are gonna happen.
Ouch. Let's try Sam first. He's on line one. He got impaled through his torso. That's the thick part of your body. Sam, welcome to the show. Thank you for holding on. What happened, dude?
It's
been too long.
There
it's
it
been
is.
Too long.
There it is. That's okay. We've got Carlos to go to. Carlos is on line two. Hey, Carlos, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened, dude?
I fell off the roof on my backyard and fell into a tetherball pole.
Oh, my God. Off the roof onto a tetherball pole? So you hit the top of it?
No, it went right through my ribs.
So you were all the way down on the ground, or you were hanging partway down?
I was hanging 5 feet off the ground.
Oh, what did they do? I mean, did they get guys to come and tip the thing over so that they could pull you off the pole?
Well, it was a birthday party, and I had a couple family members help me off the pole.
And then
that's
you,
what she said.
I would imagine, though, that a tetherball pole, I mean, that's pretty thick. And that's also
no
what she
kidding.
Said. But I would imagine that you would be in serious danger of hitting an organ if that went through your torso.
I broke four ribs, shattered one, and punctured a lung.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Did good your family times. Play a game of tetherball before they helped you?
No.
All right. Okay. Good. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Wow.
Fell off the roof. I suspect there's more to that story.
I think you're right. Let's try another Sam, this one on line four, calling us on the Kevin and Bean Show. You were impaled. Sam, what happened?
How's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
Well, when I was younger, I was trying to run on top of a brick wall that my dad was building, and there was rebar sticking out.
Oh, sure.
And like an idiot, I tripped on one and fell on a rebar, and it went through my chin and almost into my head.
Through your chin?
Through your chin.
That isn't good for you.
No, that's no good at all.
Your
dude.
Chin.
Do you have an awesome scar?
Yeah, I do. And then I have another scar on the top of my head where, like, a glass table went through.
All right. All right. This is on you now.
Yeah. mean, you're a mess.
I mean, once is an accident, right? Anyone
right.
could get in an accident once.
Anyone can get impaled one time.
Right.
Let's try Alex line five. Alex, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. How'd you get impaled?
Yeah, when I was a little kid and we were playing freeze tag. In the middle of the street, it was kind of late. So, you know, there's always a base, right? You got to run the base
sure.
to kind of be safe, right?
Right.
So in the middle of the night, I was running down to try to get to the base. And little did I know, there was a guy on a bike hauling, you know, towards me. And we just met up in the middle of the street, and there's a big old collision. So when I was getting up, I couldn't get upright, and I started pulling out the bike pedal out of my leg because when we crashed, somehow the pedal got inserted into my leg.
What?
Yeah,
but did it go all the way through?
It did not go all the way through because it was a blunt. It wasn't sharp. It was kind of blunt.
How funny is it that you don't qualify for this call-in topic?
I'm sorry. You were not injured enough. I'm sorry, sir. get you and your pussy pedal and your foot out of here. I got no time for you. We want it to go in one part of your body and come out on the other side.
That guy is not hurt enough.
Let's get some ladies in on the mix. Janice is on line seven. Let's see what happened to her. Hi, Janice. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I was in Ecuador, and I was 12 years old. Me and my brother were racing up the sides of these stairs, and there were metal rails with spikes on them on the sides of these stairs. And 1 minute, I'm hanging off of the stair rail. I have no idea what's going on. Finally, after a couple minutes, I dislodged myself. My whole arm just starts gushing blood. My mom raced me to the emergency room. They said I actually landed on the stair, like, spike. And
ouch.
It went right up my arm. And if it went in, like, just a few centimeters more, I would have lost my arm.
Wow.
Dude.
That seems bad.
This is getting painful now. Thank you very much for the call. Paul writes in, Dear Kevin and Bean, I get impaled every time either of you guys talk. It goes in one ear and out the other. Well, that's just, that's mean. Let's try Sarah, line one. Hi, Sarah. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How'd you get impaled?
I was walking down a hallway and I tripped and I fell onto a table that had knitting needles sticking over the edge. And one went in my stomach and out my side.
Oh, wow. Knitting needles.
I mean, how weird that you would hit it just perfectly. So it would go in and out. That's bizarre.
Yeah, the back of it hit the wall. And as I fell onto it, and then I fell forward and it ripped open.
Oh,
that's amazing.
All right. I missed anything important. So
good. Right. Good for you.
Good times.
By the way, I'm tempted to just keep taking calls and see how long we can go because it's insane. Every time one drops off, another one comes on with somebody who was impaled.
If they can hold on, we can take more.
No, we don't have to do that.
They were impaled.
I'm just saying how fascinating
it is. So these people were impaled and we don't have time for them.
Let's try Javier real quick, line six. Javier, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
What does a listener have to do? Hey. Oh, I'm sorry.
Javier.
I had the wrong line. I'm sorry. Hold on. That was my bad. Javier, are you there?
Yeah.
All right. What happened?
Well, I was about 10 years old running through a schoolyard and being chased by the school guard because it was, you know, after school and me and my friends were running. And a couple of guys went through the fence and I tried to go over the fence and I slipped and my buttocks fell right on top of the points of the fence.
Oh, that's stuck on a fence.
With your butt.
Yeah.
Good times. You still have a scar?
Oh, yeah.
Email a picture of that to Kevin. He wants to see that.
I don't really.
Nick writes in, thank you for the call. Me and a coworker were at work and we heard people shouting, so we ran to the window. A guy had jumped from about 8 or 9 stories up trying to commit suicide. Instead, he landed on a wrought iron fence. He was hanging, dangling for about an hour until the paramedics showed up and cut the gate apart and took him away with the gate inside his body. It was
what
pretty epic.
What a loser.
Yeah, you know? You try to commit suicide and you end up instead being severely injured, that's like the opposite of what you want. That's not making your life better.
Eric,
right?
I'm sorry. We don't have time for your piece of wood went through your forearm. Alec, I apologize. Your motorcycle bike brake lever went into your ribs. We don't have time for you. Lorraine, rollerblading fell on grass trimmer. And Bob, backyard getting remodeled, fell on rebar. We don't have time for you guys. But thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. You're our Pete.
Hey, thanks a lot for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Great story broke yesterday about the Sesame Street YouTube page. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but I guess they have a page up on YouTube, like a lot of people do, where the kids can go and they can see videos of their favorite Sesame Street characters. But they got a bad surprise, according to CNN, when lots of Muppet porn was on the page instead.
So they had the actual Muppets, but they were involved in porn?
Yes, I'm afraid so. The page, of course, was immediately taken down, quote, due to repeated or severe violations of our community guidelines. So they don't know. A couple people are claiming responsibility. They're still investigating. They don't know yet who might have actually put up the porn. But that's not good. The kids don't need to see Muppet porn, right? You guys are with me on that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, don't they know better than anyone? At Sesame Street?
Yeah, but this was an official Sesame Street. This is people who were hacking into the... But we wanted to find out more about this story, so we asked producer Dave, filling in for Alex, if he could hook us up. And sure enough, he was able to find a great spokesman for this story. Kermit the Frog himself joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Kermit. How are you?
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Kermit the Frog here.
Well, it's great to...
How are you guys
doing?
We are good.
Yay!
How are things on the street today? How's everybody feeling after that ugly hacking incident?
Everything's fine here at Sesame Street. Everyone's very happy with the reaction we've got to our new adult content.
Well, what are you talking about? You mean the hacker?
Well, the hacker? Hacker?
Yeah.
Now, these are videos we actually put up on the Sesame Street YouTube page.
Oh, that's the opposite of how it's being reported in the lamestream media, Kermit.
No, these are our videos. Because let's face it, the only way you can really make any money on the internet anymore is with X-rated content! Yay!
Okay, but isn't your show all about little kids and what's age-appropriate for kids who are 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years old?
Yeah, but it's expensive to make.
Right.
Television is not cheap.
Right, I
see.
So we
had to put some videos up there.
All right, I hate to ask, and this may get into an area that we're uncomfortable with, but what kinds of videos are you guys making there now?
Some of our most popular videos are the ones we just put up, Stick It in Oscar's Can.
Okay, that's, again, little kids don't need to know about that.
But he lives in a can! Bean.
Yeah, who makes you the expert Bean?
Yeah, that's where Oscar lives.
Right.
That's all.
Okay.
Another video is very popular, Big Bird.
that's just what it's called, is it Big Bird?
Just Big Bird.
That's just the name of the character, right?
Can you tell me how to get to Hershey Street?
Okay.
Another very popular video.
The Muppets are not supposed to even have that kind of anatomy.
Riding Mr. Snuffleupagus?
Okay. Right? I'm not comfortable with this.
He has a big trunk.
He does, yeah.
It is not a small trunk.
It is quite large.
He is packing in the trunk department.
Right.
Yes, we got it, Kirby. We got it.
There's an alternative video called Bath Time with Bert and Ernie.
Okay.
See what they do with a rubber ducky.
Sure.
Okay.
The Count has a video online, very popular character.
Okay, yeah.
The Count's 1-2-3-some.
Mm-hmm. Good. I like it.
Grover teaches in and out. Hey, Froggy! Hey, Grover, how's it going? In, out. In,
okay.
Out.
It sounds like it's very
comfortable.
Out.
Educational.
Yeah, he does a lot of that.
Yeah.
There's a Nookie Monster.
Sure.
Okay. Really? Come on, Kermit.
And even I'm in a video.
Oh, you're starring in one.
Kermit gets airtight. Because I'm a frog. I spend a lot of time underwater.
Oh, I see. Right.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah, that's what we thought you meant.
Yeah. $9.95 a minute.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know what we've opened here, but I cannot stop the emails with impaling stories.
Yeah.
It's just, here's Maria, whose foot was impaled on a lawn dart. Do you remember those? There used to be a toy for kids, lawn darts that you would throw through the air. Scott writes in, when I was 12 years old, I was jumping up and down on the bed. My sister hit my legs with a pillow while I was airborne, knocking me off the bed. She didn't know I had a Tinker Toy stick in my mouth. It went through the roof of my mouth and came out my nose when I hit the floor.
Nope.
This is what's happening right now. It's a miracle any of our listeners are still alive.
Feel free to leave Ralph at krock.com off of that email.
Come on,
when
now.
When you're putting those addresses
Ralph,
together,
send those out. It's happened to every person that's listening to us.
I don't need to know about it. I do not care to know.
I remembered a few minutes ago that I caused an impaling.
Of course you did. Of course you caused someone else to have pain.
It was me and another guy, and we were the dumbest kids alive, let's be honest. And we were doing, let's see how close I can throw this knife at your foot, was our game. Yeah, I don't know.
You're raised by wolves? What kind of game is that to play?
All I remember is, like, the second throw in, I just nailed him right on the top of the foot and went all the way through.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know what we were doing or why. I barely have any memory.
He should have murdered you.
He really should have.
Well, but if you haven't been impaled yet, Ralph, all that means is your impaling is
I'm
still
not
to come.
Getting
because
impaled.
Impaling does happen to everyone.
You got
to
get it over. It's like the chicken pox. You got to get it over with when you're young.
All right. Time for the Showbiz Beat now here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Wednesday. What's going on?
I've got some passes to give away to the very special advanced screening of The Rum Diary.
Yay!
Movie stars Johnny Depp, Aaron Eckhart, Amber Heard, Giovanni Ribisi. Great cast. You can go to rumdiarythemovie.com for more information. But it's in everywhere. It's in theaters everywhere. Friday, October the 28th. We have a very special advanced screening happening on Tuesday the 25th at the Arclight Hollywood, one of my favorite theaters in the world to be at. If you'd like to go, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. The next two callers at that number, 1-800-520-1067, will get a pair of passes to attend The Rum Diary on Tuesday the 25th. I think I'm going to this one. I
don't
go to the screenings, but I've been looking forward to this movie for a long, long time. So I'm
You're breaking your own rule, though.
I know.
All right.
I'll go see it, and then I'll pretend like I didn't see it when I review it. How about that?
Excellent.
I won't use any of the information actually at my disposal to review the film. A TV show that I'm looking forward to has officially been announced today. Zombieland, the TV series.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Series based on the wildly popular movie Zombieland is coming to television. I guess, of course, the success of The Walking Dead didn't hurt this project at all.
But that one was kind of, it walked the line of being funny.
It
and
was
it did
very
it well.
Funny.
Right. And it's hard to do,
yeah.
So that worries me.
I loved that film.
I did too.
The good news is that the original writers of the film, Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, are working with the film's producer, Gavin Pallone, to make it happen. So these are all the original people involved in the project are putting the series together.
Excellent.
And what also is encouraging is originally Zombieland was going to be a TV series.
Oh.
They wrote a pilot script for a TV series, and people liked it so much it got bumped up the food chain and got greenlit to become a motion picture. That's how the movie happened.
That's
so
great.
It was always sort of written with a TV series in mind, and now they're going to go ahead and do it. I can't imagine any of the original cast to be back, of course. So Woody Harrelson, Jesse Eisenberg, Emma Stone,
Abigail Breslin all star in the film, but I think it's going to be very cool.
I'm in.
Check that out.
There are zombie projects every decade since they started, right, Ralph?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
constant.
A perennial.
It's a constant.
Every few years, it seems like there's another big zombie thing.
There's always and always have been zombie movies, pretty much since the success of Night of the Living Dead, the George Romero film, the original one that sort of created that genre. But they just, in terms of popularity, kind of wanes and fades. But there have always been those projects, and now it's just a white-hot property. All monsters are. Vampires, of course, came back with Twilight. Johnny Depp just finished making a vampire movie with Tim Burton. It's going to be coming out soon. Werewolves, you get them on television now, and Grimm is coming on soon. That series about monsters and stuff. So we live in a very monster-friendly time. Speaking of monsters, Courtney Love has announced she is pulling her band Hole out of next year's festival in Australia. What the hell is the name of that festival? Soundwave Festival in Australia. Turns out she was notified that she'd be opening for Limp Bizkit. And she and Fred Durst don't have the greatest of histories together. So she told the promoter that it was not going to happen. The promoter responded that there was no way he was going to ask Courtney Love's permission every time another band was booked on his festival. So he said, good riddance. So they won't be performing. However, Limp Bizkit, as I mentioned, will be there. System of a Down, Slipknot, You Me at Six, Machine Head, and A Day to Remember will all be performing in February and March of next year at the Soundwave Festival in Australia.
Guys, who are these people going to see Limp Bizkit in 2011? How can they even be that high up on the bill that Courtney would be opening for him?
I don't know.
Yes, the wrong guy. I have no idea. Lauren Conrad has been spending a lot of time with Derek Hough. Of course, they dance together on Dancing with the Stars, and apparently their relationship is the real deal. Meanwhile, Kim Kardashian's relationship has taken a hit. Uh-oh. Friends say the newly married couple of Kim Kardashian and Chris Humphries are struggling because with the NBA lockout, Chris has nothing to do, and he is just sleeping in all day and partying all night. And Kim is not pleased with his behavior.
What does she expect him to do?
He's not going to go get a job as a mechanic.
I guess she expected him to be on the road playing basketball someplace and out of her hair, and so she wouldn't really have to deal with him. And now with the lockout, it looks like he's just lounging about. Look, that's why he married you, so he doesn't have to work.
That's true.
Right, exactly. He may never go back, even if the league does.
He's just going to live off your fat ass and play video games with his friends in your multi-million-dollar house. That's what he's going to do. That's what I would do.
Not a bad gig.
And Charlie Sheen is back on the market, ladies. Good news for you.
Is he still considered a catch?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
He was briefly reunited with the mother of his twin boys, Brooke Mueller, according to friends. But the situation, surprisingly, simply wasn't working out. Isn't that hard to believe?
How about that?
Given their track record of success in that relationship. While we're talking about reality show stars, Dancing with the Stars update. In the bottom three last night, Hope Solo.
Aw.
Yeah. David Arquette and Carson Kressley. And Carson Kressley apparently given the boot off the show.
Is that good or bad? What's the story on him?
Carson Kressley was one of the queer eyes for the straight guys.
Right.
Guys. And we don't care. We don't care if he gets booted off. We're
glad Hope Solo is still on because she's the only attractive one left.
Exactly. That's our point.
So that if we happen to watch it, she's might be on it.
We might be able to see her.
All right.
See Nancy Grace farting up a storm over there. You want to be on The Real World? Season 27 of The Real World. MTV is looking for new cast members for that show. They're holding an open casting call today. If you happen to be in the Los Angeles area, you want to get yourself to Hooters of Burbank. 600 North 1st Street in Burbank is where the Hooters is. 11 a.m. this morning, they start interviewing possible cast members for Season 27 of The Real World. And it goes all the way up to 6 p.m. tonight. So if you're in between 20 and 24 years old and you have a liver of steel, you can go down there and check in. Yeah, they do a lot of cocktailing. They said they're looking for all different types. Goths, jocks, popular people. Those are outside the norms of society. You know, the usual mix of deviance.
What are you doing today? Going to look for a job?
Oh, yeah, where?
Hooters.
Real World?
Hooters.
I know that the show wouldn't be on for its 26th season if it weren't popular, but when was the last time you felt any kind of a heat on a cast member from The Real World or any interesting storyline that kind of broke through for people who don't watch it?
It has sort of become background noise now for me.
Yeah.
It doesn't really stick out anymore. Those shows used to be like The Jersey Shore. I mean, every time they had a new cast, someone would pop and be all over the press and stuff. Remember that Puck guy, that a-hole Puck
who would
eat peanut butter with his hands and stuff, and everyone hated him. He'd blow snot rockets all over the house and everything. He was a piece of work.
He was good times.
He was very popular for a minute. But, yeah. Well, people watch, though, obviously, or it wouldn't be on. Today's celebrity birthday is John Lithgow, 66 years old today. Ty Pennington of Extreme Makeover Home Edition is 47. John Favreau is 44. Trey Parker, 42 years old today. Jason Reitman, very talented writer and director, is 34 years old. And Jillian Jacobs of Community celebrates her 29th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday morning. Ralph Garman joins us. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I don't know if I can control my anger at Tyra Banks.
Yeah.
I'm concerned. There has to be some sort of support group or some sort of therapy I can go to. Tyra Haters of America, THA.
I'm sure there's organized cells.
Doesn't Dr. Drew have a show for this? Isn't there a bunch of us can live in a halfway house and try to work out our issues, how much we hate Tyra Banks?
I don't.
I know there are 5 women on my stage, but between them, they have 10 vaginas.
You have to love her just for that, right?
And one a-hole up on that stage. The one holding the microphone.
The one talking.
She's got a book out.
Yeah.
She wrote a novel.
Yes.
Called Model Land.
What's it about, Ralph?
The story of an outcast teenager named Tookie De La Creme, who is all gangly and tall and thin and has a giant forehead, and all she wants to do is be a model. But she's too much of an ugly duckling to go to model land.
Hmm.
And she has to go through a series of fantasy magical adventures in order to become a model land and get to the top of Model Land Mountain. She and her misfit friends.
So it's an autobiography. It's about Tyra and her awkward early years before she became a supermodel.
Hey, here's the thing, too, about all models. Once you're on the cover of Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition, once you're in the Victoria's Secret catalog, you no longer get to play the, oh, I was ugly card. You don't get to say, oh, it was so hard for me, I'm so ugly. Because now you're a supermodel, which means you win. You beat everybody else. You're the best of the best when it comes to looks. You can complain about other things, but you can't complain about not being good looking. You're a supermodel.
It's kind of like winning the World Series and then going, yeah, but I lost that one Little League game that one time.
Right, yeah. It's like Usain Bolt saying, you know, when I was 3, I couldn't run very fast.
Yeah.
But now you're the fastest man on the planet, so you really can't draw on that card any longer. All right, so anyway, Model Land.
The total, like, ridiculous level of creativity. She wants to go to Model Land. Come on.
It's a fantasy series. This is the first of a series of novels.
Oh, great.
Tyra said she was driving along the FDR in New York. Well, not her driving, actually. Someone was driving her. She was in the back of a limo.
Sure.
And it was just a magic moment of creativity where this idea just came to her. In a flash, here's Tyra talking about herself.
The name of the book is Model Land. I get asked, supermodel, what does that mean? You guys have superpowers? And I said, you know what? Yeah. So I jot it down. Modeling boarding school.
Hmm.
Maybe supermodels do have superpowers. Hmm. So maybe I should do this book in fantasy land.
Oh.
An adventure.
All right.
And have magic.
Magic.
All
a
right.
Magic boarding school? A place where kids go to a boarding school and they're all magic?
They learn magic?
And they have to deal with their magical powers at boarding school? And it's a book series? How did you... This just came to you. It's amazing. Did it come to you while you were watching the Harry Potter movies? God damn her.
Everyone just shut the f*** up.
Tyra Banks really blows. Tyra Banks really blows. Blows.
And now people are talking to her as if she's an author. They're doing interviews with her as if she's an author. And she said, this is the latest story from the Wall Street Journal. She said the book took her 5 years to create. It's 5 years in the making, this book. Because she knows very few words.
It's true.
That's the problem.
She had to go to the dictionary.
She's got to keep looking up. Oh, magic. Is that with a K? How do you... Here's what she says about the stress of writing the book. How can I say this without tearing up, she said to the reporter. I got alopecia from the stress. So she's claiming that her hair started falling out because it was such a stressful chore to try to create this magical boarding school.
Out of nothing.
Where everyone lives there. Where practices their magic.
No one's ever heard of this concept.
In model land.
At least you can... Die! Die!
took her 5 years to come up with the ingenious title of Model Land. This is the magical land where models are made.
That's like the temporary title for the actual.
What are you really going to call it? Right. What's the real land going to be called? That you
crazy bad.
Hardly Hogwarts, is it? Model Land. It's like calling a Wandville. It's like Harry Potter and his friends had lived in Wandville or Magic City. Damn. I'm just saying, damn. But at
was
least,
that insane? Was that not crazy?
At least it's only number two in the New York Times bestseller list.
It's not the case.
At least that's all.
That can't
at least
be
no one's
it's
buying
not
this,
successful.
This bunch of crap. Congratulations to the shows over there on Fox. Terra Nova had a very nice ratings bump to it this week, up nearly 10%.
Dude, wow.
The Nielsen show, so people are catching on to Terra Nova. And the return of Olivia Wilde, The House, also did very well for that series. 15% bump in ratings for that show. So Olivia Wilde is worth whatever they're paying her.
Yes, she is. But weren't a lot of those people, let's be honest, tuning in to see what Bobby was up to this week on House?
They were hoping for more Bobby, and I think they were sadly disappointed.
Yeah.
It's Bobby!
Yeah, there was no Bobby on this week's.
Mm-hmm. The Ralph Garman character. Maybe they're saving some of that story for the spinoff, though.
That's what I'm thinking. They don't want to burn.
Are they going to wait
all the Bobby storylines?
They're going to wait till next week to see if people then fall off because you weren't on.
They may.
Yeah.
Yeah. They bring back another guest star to try to bolster that Bobby sag they may be getting. Bobby Sag is probably his last name. while we're talking about sagging ratings, 2.5 Men's ratings continue to plummet.
I haven't seen the new episodes.
Did you watch the first one?
I did.
Like everyone did.
Yeah.
The highest ratings ever for that series.
It was, okay.
When they unveiled Ashton Kutcher's character. Now, it turns out that this past Monday's episode was the lowest rated episode so far this season. So it continues to drop.
Way to go, Judy Greer.
As people are no longer very interested in apparently what's happening over there. It is not Judy's fault.
No, it's not. I love her. You know that. I'm
well,
just kidding.
I wish you wouldn't say bad things about her then.
I feel guilty that I haven't been watching that show because I do love her that much. But I don't know if it's worth 2.5 Men to watch her.
Just give her own show so we can just watch Judy. That's what
absolutely.
We're saying.
It's Judy.
maybe Judy can be Bobby's girlfriend.
There you
on
go.
The new show.
It's Bobby. And Judy.
Bobby and Judy show.
Now we got something.
And more good TV news. Zombieland, the excellent zombie motion picture, is being turned into a TV series.
Love it.
Writers Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, who wrote the original, are working with the original film's producer, Gavin Pallone, to make it happen. They had been talking about a sequel for some time to the feature film, but they could never really get it off the ground, so it looks like a TV series is going to be the next best thing. The good news is not only are the original creative minds behind the movie working on the series, but also the fact that Zombieland was originally going to be a TV series, but a movie was greenlit first, so the film took precedence, and they went on and made the feature film version instead. But at least it means that there is a mythology in place for a TV series, because that's how they started the idea, so I think we got a good shot at something good coming out of this.
Same creators. That's good news.
Yeah. Right. While we were talking about Ashton Kutcher earlier with his 2.5 Men, still questions surrounding his relationship with Demi Moore. Are they splitting up? Are they divorcing? But here's a brand new question. There's a guy named Mark Eisen who claims that they were never actually married.
What?
Apparently they got married in a big Kabbalah ceremony, and this guy claims that it was not a legal union.
How does he know?
He apparently is a big-time Kabbalah debunker.
Huh.
You know these people who go after Scientology, you know, and pull back the curtain?
Yeah.
He is actually suing Madonna, Ashton Kutcher, Demi Moore, and a few other members of the Kabbalah Center for racketeering and conspiracy.
What?
He says he spent a lot of time researching Kabbalah and says the religion is actually a militant and fanatical cult.
Wow.
Sounds like he's got an axe to grind. Yep. Or an ox to grind.
Neither one.
But don't people say both of those things about every religion?
Yes.
Catholicism is, Mormonism is, Scientology is. I mean, we've heard it about every one of them.
Yes, and they're all right. And Selena Gomez is in talks to star in a new movie called Hot Mess. That's too easy. That's just too easy, isn't it?
It really is.
And you're just doing the reviewers' jobs for them at that point, aren't you? It's a comedy about four girls desperately trying to avoid the hot messes they're destined to be. No word on casting of the other three girls.
That's what I was going to say, is who else is in it.
But Lindsay Lohan's agent should get on the phone right away, I think.
right away.
This strikes me as one of those screenplays that gets made because someone titles it a phrase that's being used in the popular vernacular.
Phrase, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hot mess is being thrown around quite a bit. Let's make a movie called Hot Mess.
The kids say that, right?
Yeah.
Hot mess, yeah.
It'd be like making a movie called Where's the Beef 20 years ago. It's just like, people are saying it. Just get it in theaters now before they stop saying it.
But what's it about?
Don't care. Matters. Hot messes. It'll look good on the poster. Hot mess. I like that phrase. I'm going to go see this movie.
I think that's how Farmville got greenlit, too. Farmville? Oh, that's popular. Let's make that a movie. People love it.
Oh, Farmville.
That's not my fault. Great. It is your fault.
I'm just hoping Tyra Banks stars in Farmville.
One of your big Ralph Garman showbiz fans, Robert, writes in, hey, the reason it took Tyra 5 years to write the book, Ralph, is because she had to wait for the last Harry Potter movie so she'd know how to end it.
That's true. It's hard to steal a plot unless you see the whole thing.
Of course, she couldn't read the Harry Potter book. She had to wait for the movie to come out.
You got to sift through all those letters and punctuation and stuff. That's a nightmare.
Let's not be crazy.
Today's celebrity birthday is John Lithgow, 66 years old today. Just great. He's just great in everything that he does. Just great. He's just great.
He's great.
Ty Pennington, host of Extreme Makeover Home Edition, 47 years old today. Actor-director Jon Favreau is 45 years old. Trey Parker, half of the creative team that brought us South Park, 42 years old. Comedian Chris Kattan, he used to be on Saturday Night Live. You still see him once in a while. He's 41 years old. Omar Gooding of Hanging with Mr. Cooper is 35 years old. Jason Reitman, super talented director and writer. He is 34. And Jillian Jacobs of Community fame celebrates her 29th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, Lake Bell will be that's what I'm talking about.
Holy moly.
Talking about how to make it in America. We have a brand new internet roundup. We have Lake Bell. We have
Lake Bell.
Dr. Drew. We have Lake Bell.
Okay. Lake Bell's
How to Make
on.
It in America.
We got that. She's
we have
on.
Her on the program.
She will
How
be
tough
on.
Can it be to make it in America if you look like Lake Bell, by the way?
Not that hard at all.
Not that hard. I wouldn't think
Did
so.
She just
no.
come on and say, not that hard.
Yeah. How to Make America? Look like me. That's look what like she should say.
And we were talking earlier today with Kevin Smith about the Occupy Wall Street, Occupy whatever. And we said that they had to be homeless because they had to not have a job. At some point, they're going to have to go out and look for a job. And I got an email from somebody that's a member of Occupy Long Beach who says all of them are full-time employees. I don't know how they
get the time off.
Are they only down there for 10 minutes a day? We'll get the chance to ask her
Are
tomorrow.
They full employees for the Long Beach Park and Rec Association?
We'll ask her
are they
tomorrow.
Picking up trash down there?
We'll ask her that tomorrow,
All right.
Amongst other things. And Bjork has a new app that I think you're going to be excited to hear about.
Bjork. You know, that's my longstanding motto.
At least it's only a $10 app, though, so that's good.
Oh, whereas all the others are free, she's
Pretty
charging
much.
$10.
Some of them are $1.99. Occasionally, you'll see a $2.99.
Oh.
She's about $10.
Well, she must need some new fairy wings. They must be expensive.
So that's Bjork. That's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.